Blog Talk Radio.
A home going service for one of his co-workers, So we're he's driving back from Queens right now. I'm on the passenger seat.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, so but we, you know, we're still gonna do the show. If the call drops, please continue. So they dropped a couple times so far. But we're gonna hope that everything goes well until I get back home. But go ahead.
Amen. We're gonna believe God for that.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Would you mind? Well, actually, what we're gonna do this evening, Minister Cheryl Miller will not be joining us. She's not feeling good today. But we do have a special guest coming on as well. She's a first-time author, and her name is Kimberly Grew Sylvia. She's going to come on and share about her book with her husband that has passed away, and she pretty much wrote a book in memory of her husband. So we're going to bring her on later on. Later on in the show, we're going to bring her on. But if you wouldn't mind opening up in prayer for me, please.
Sure. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Gracious and eternal Father, Lord God, we come through this hour just to say thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for the bountiful blessings that you've bestowed upon us on just this day alone, dear God. Thank you for watching over us and keeping us from last week up until now. Now, dear God, we pray that you just continue to be with us and bless us throughout the rest of this evening, oh, Father God, allowing your presence to be made manifest, oh, Father God, in all that we do, particularly here on Spiritual Sunday. Lord God, I just pray, first of all, before I go any further, there's any thoughts or sin that we may have done or by thought or word or deed, oh, Father God, that we may have done throughout this day that's not been pleasing within your sight, we ask that you forgive us in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, we pray that you continue to bless our host, Lavina Polite, oh, Father God. Bless our CEO, Rich Archibald, oh, Father God. Continue to bless the works of their hands, Father God. The vision that you've given them, oh, Lord God, with regards to this ministry, Lord God, let it continue to go forth and to bring and bear much fruit, oh, Father God, good fruit that will remain. Father God, we pray that you bless each and every staff member of GQ Palace in the name of Jesus Christ and their families, oh, Lord God. And Father God, we want to send out a special blessing and just a thought, oh, Father God, for Minister Cheryl Miller, oh, Father God, and her illness, oh, Lord God. We pray, Father God, that you restore and that you heal her because you are a God that heals. You are Jehovah Rapha. And we know, Father God, that you have all power within your hands. Now, Lord God, we pray that you continue to bless us. Bless the featured speaker that's going to come on a little later on, oh, Father God, and that we may be attentive and hear, oh, Father God, whatever it is that she has to share with us, oh, Lord God. Bless all the listeners, those that are listening in, those that participate, Father God, actively or inactively. We just pray, Father God, that you be with each and every person, oh, Lord God, that's under the sound of our voices. Lord God, we just want to say we truly do love you. We give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. And this is my humble prayer that I submit to you at this time. In the precious name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. With thanksgiving in my heart, amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Uh-oh. Well,
Minister Weather. Go ahead, say it, go ahead.
working the controls from the car, huh?
Yes, I could do a little bit.
Okay.
I can't do much. I can't do much, but I could do a tad bit.
That's more than last week.
I know. I tried to move up some things because, you know, with all the shows that GQ Palace has, it's only one studio. So I tend to move stuff around, you know, for different shows. And then Rich moved stuff around, and now it's just I have to find certain things on the phone. Because, you know, the phone is a lot smaller, you know, that technology stuff.
Yeah.
So how have you been, Minister Weathersby?
Well, I'm doing very well. God is good. I've had a great week. Things have been going very well. I met on this past Wednesday. a member of the surgical team that may be performing surgery on me in the next 3 to 6 months that's going to help me with my health. I met with them, so things went well there, and today I was fortunate and blessed that the Lord allowed me to deliver the message at my church that I'm associate minister at.
Oh, okay. Amen.
Amen.
But you had a busy week.
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, when people say busy to me, I'm like, it ain't really busy. But, yeah.
You were able to retire. So
yes,
that frees the time to be able to do all the work that God has called you to do. So that still works.
Well, yeah,
it's just not punching the time clock.
Yeah, it is a labor, but you know, thank God that it's a labor of love, and it ain't taxing
right.
to do the work of God.
Amen.
You know how sometimes it can be just real difficult trying to go into the regular job, that secular job. I don't really have a plan to call me to do.
See, I actually had a stressful week this week just with work, and it shouldn't have been stressful because our census went down, so we don't have a lot of the patients that we had before. A lot of them are gone, but we get new ones in. So the new ones that we, you know, that we have in, we're able to try and get them to understand the rules and regulations of the hospital without, you know, everyone else, you know, the bad influences being there. So that's one of the benefits of it. But outside of work, you know, we had a very busy, very, very busy weekend. So I do definitely want to take a minute and just send my condolences to the family that Rich's co-worker that passed away. Definitely send our condolences on behalf of Jesus Palace, Spiritual Sunday, and send condolences to my Aunt Sheila. She had lost her father who was a diabetic, and they actually amputated his leg, and then they amputated some of his fingers from both his hands. And then he actually lost his sight in one of his eyes.
Mm.
So she had took a trip down there to visit him, and then she came back home, I want to say Monday or Tuesday, she came back home, and then Wednesday he passed away.
Oh.
And they're trying to actually investigate everything now because, you know, he doesn't have legs to move around, and they're saying that he had fluid in the brain. Now, even though his body was full of infection, you know, from, they said, all the surgeries and everything that he's had, you know, his immune system just shut down. So he wasn't able to talk or anything when she went down there. And then within a day later, he did pass away. So I definitely want to, you know, send my condolences, you know, to her and to her family, and we're praying, you know, for the Cumberbatch family, and they should be coming back home now. So that's definitely a wonderful, you know, thing. We're praying that they get home safe. You know, it was a lot in preparation just to get them to go, you know, to travel back down there. If they had just came up from North Carolina, and then turn around and go back to North Carolina, that was a big trip.
Oh, absolutely.
So we're definitely praying for them. What we're going to do is we're just going to go to a song real fast. We do have some callers that we're going to take. I just have to get everything ready. And
yes.
After the song, we're going to come right on and take the callers, okay?
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Well, he's probably saying pray on it, but hopefully he'll visit the T-Mobile and get me a phone. You know?
Probably what you're going to be praying on. He don't know that. Now he knows.
Look, and he's here, too. And he can't hear what we're saying because I don't have you on speaker because you really pick up the feedback.
So I think he was able to put
the 2 and 2 together and figure out, you know, I'm in need of a phone, you know.
Oh, Lord.
So, but before we continue with Martha, I do want to send our condolences as well to Tori Nelson. Tori Nelson is a female boxer. She's actually number one right now in New York for her weight class. Her aunt passed away yesterday.
Oh.
So I definitely want to send our condolences out to her aunt and her family, or to Tori Nelson and her family, on behalf of GQ Palace as well. So, Martha, how you been?
I'm good. How about you?
I've been doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. I'm blessed. I'm alive. So I was able to open my eyes this morning. So I'm feeling really good. I had a busy week, but, you know, God is good.
Amen. I'm kind of goofy today, so if I start laughing over something stupid, don't get mad. Please don't.
I didn't hear you. Say it again.
I said, I'm kind of goofy today. So if I start laughing for something stupid, don't get mad.
Okay, I think. as long as you don't start laughing when people get their testimonies, then we're okay. Because we can't have you laughing during that. So I've asked you to mute yourself, you know, when you feel that laugh coming on in the middle of someone's testimony, okay? But the rest of it, enjoy yourself, okay? We all, you know, we all love each other, and we're here on one accord, and we're all here to do the same thing, so.
Amen. You're right. I wasn't saying it that way. I'm not that type of person who's going to laugh at somebody's testimony when they come on. No, that's kind of crazy. I'm not that type of person. But, Minister Arthur, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, Martha. How you doing?
I'm blessed. Evangelist, whatever her name is, was asking me to hit you up.
Evangelist, whatever her name is?
The one that you be on the prayer line on the mornings at 8?
At 8 o'clock?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Oh, I ain't been on there in a long time.
Right. They asked me to hit you up.
Okay. So you hit me up.
All right. So, Martha, do you have a testimony to share today? Would you like to say what you're thankful for today?
Yes. I thank and praise God for just letting me be on here today. I think, you know what, it's so comical. Yesterday, Jehovah Witness came to my house the other day, or yesterday, or whatever, at 10 o'clock in the morning. And he knocked on my door, and I said, hey, what's up? And they asked me, was I the daughter or was I the adult? And I said, I'm a child. And she said, you look like a very good person to talk to about God. I said, yes, ma'am, but I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. I'm a worker for Christ. And she was like, well, that's what a Jehovah's Witness is. I said, I understand, but I wouldn't thank you. No thank you for the offer. Not trying to be rude. And she was like, how old are you? And I said, I'm 15. She said, do you have any ministries? I said, I have 3. She said, what? At the age of 15, you got 3 ministries? She said, yes, ma'am. And she was like, I need help. She was like, help for what? And she was like, I need help with my family. I was like, okay, you need prayer instead of help? Because I can't help you with no family. I'm only 15. Don't know anything. She was like, are you good at interpreting dreams? I said, I'm not the person that interprets it. It's God. It's nothing but God. And so she closed the door, and she started crying. I said, who is that lady crying? And it was so, I didn't think it was funny, but I closed the door, and she was, and something had told me to open it back up. It was like, open it back up for what? So I opened up the door, and nobody was there. And the lady that was standing right in front of me, she couldn't have walked that fast. Because there was like, you could see the whole gap. It was like an angel that was coming to me. I don't know what it was, but she knocked on my door. And then when I opened it, she wasn't there no more. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. And then I thank God for my brother coming over. I truly thank God for him. You know, he wasn't talking to me for a little while, and then he was like, he told me all this stuff, why he loved me and why he thanked me and all this other stuff. And I thank God because he really opened his heart to me. He's really been opening his heart, and I thank God for that. And that's my testimony on today.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's good.
Amen.
That's good. All right. I was a little confused. But Minister Weathersby, I'm going to go to you for words of encouragement for Sister Martha this evening.
Amen. Well, that was interesting to hear about that conversation. other than you know, maybe if that was, you know, presuming that was a real person, you know, God brought her there for a purpose. Because it sounds to me that she was not there to promote Jehovah Witnesses. She was there because
right.
she needed help. And that may be the beginning of her moving towards in a different direction, towards the, you know, the only living true God, you know, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And you know, and maybe that might be the beginning of the process for her. So we'll be yet praying for her. And you know, to encourage you, Martha, just continue to, you know, let the Lord use you in whatever manner that he chooses that for you to be used, because he won't put you in any position or place that you're not prepared or ready to equip to go and minister on his behalf. So, you know, we thank God for that, and thank God for what he's doing in the life of your brother. I know that's a big concern for you, and, you know, and it's good to have peace. Knowing that, you know, that things are happening with him for the good. And even though this was a difficult situation that placed him in the environment that he ultimately had to be in, it might have been the right place at the right time for him to be. You know, God sometimes, what he has to do, he has to separate us and take us to a place where we're by, you know, in a different environment where he can really work on us. So, you know, we just thanking and believing God that he's going to continue to do the work in your brother, and that you continue to, you know, just allow God to use you and just continue to grow in grace and knowledge.
Amen. Minister Weathersby, I have to say, I was waiting to see how you were going to, you know, address the person that came to the door, honestly. You know, I'm always honest. I was waiting to see how you were going to address the person that came to the door before I addressed the person that came to the door. So, I have to commend you, because I wasn't sure how to address it, and I was just giving a few minutes for my spirit to get right so I can, you know, address it, because we are in the car and I'm seeing some weird things, you know, amongst our travels. What I would like to say, Sister Martha, is please make sure that you stay encouraged, and just make sure that it, you know, if someone's in need of prayer and you feel like you're in the if you're in a situation where you can pray for the person, you know, please pray for the person. You know, even though she came to you, you know, being a Jehovah Witness, you know, it's clear to me and to my spirit that she definitely wanted more than that. You know,
right.
She wasn't coming to, you know, recruit you to cross over, you know, in any kind of way. To me, she was coming to you, and that's why she was asking you a lot of the questions that she was asking you. to me, I believe, is because she was looking, you know, for you to give her assistance. Because I think sometimes when they come to you in assistance and they come to your house knocking on the door, it's very rarely that someone asks you, you know, okay, well, I need help, you know.
Right.
Usually that's like the last thing they say is that they need help. They're not going to tell you that they need help. They want to get you, they want to win you over, you know. They want to see if they can get you to cross over. So with that being said, I just want to just tell you just to stay encouraged and, you know, and you having, you know, three ministries, you are able, you know, to help them. And I think that God puts you in different situations to see how you're going to handle them and to get you to and continue to encourage people to the best of your ability.
Amen.
So I'm going to say, you know, and I'm constantly praying, you know, for your brother. I feel, you know, the same as Minister Weatherby. You know, the place that he is right now, it might be a hard transition, but it is a wonderful thing that he's there.
Right.
So this way he can get himself, you know, together. And I think the fact that he's able to open up to you, I think that's a benefit by itself.
Yeah.
You know, because if he's able to come to you and say some things that he wasn't able to say before, or I believe you said that that you guys weren't speaking for a while, I think the fact that he's able to, you know, open up to you at this point, I think maybe that shows you a little bit of growth at the same time, the growth in him.
Amen.
So I'm definitely just going to say, you know, please, you know, continue to stay encouraged. You know, the same courage and, you know, continue to allow God to use you as an instrument to continue to do his work. You know, we don't have, you know, enough, to me, believers out there. There's so many things that's going on in this world nowadays where, you know, believers is what we need. You know, we're supposed to be here to help save someone's life, which, you know, to share a testimony where your testimony might save someone else's life. You know, so
amen.
I would like you to say, you know, I would like to say to you to please, you know, continue to stay encouraged, you know, and just always have an open heart, an open mind, because you never know what might come to your door. But know if someone's saying that they're in need of help and you know in your heart the ability that you have and that you're able to help that person, I'm going to say help that person. And I believe if you would know, would just give it a few minutes. You know, God will speak to you. The Spirit will speak to you and tell you exactly what to do. And
amen.
The words will just, you know, the words will come to you. The words will just flow, you know, to you at all times. So I'm just going to say, with all of that being said, just continue to stay encouraged and, you know, always have an open mind, you know, and stay positive, you know, at
amen.
All times.
Amen.
Amen. God bless y'all.
Bless you too,
thank you. God bless you, too. We're going to go to another caller. Welcome to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please? All right. We're going to go to another one. Welcome to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Is it me?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, T. How are you?
Hey. How is everyone?
Good.
All right.
Good. I'm just thankful that I'm still here today. Last Sunday was pretty hectic for me. Was going through some things with my daughter, and actually I still haven't heard from her. You know, I've been texting her. I called her. You know, and she texts me instead of answering my call, but I'm praying about that, and that too shall pass. Last night I got kind of upset, but I didn't turn to nothing. I just turned to God and asked him to give me the strength, you know. And other than that, I'm blessed. I'm doing good. Still fighting this struggle with this smoking. But, you know, it's still it's gonna come. And I just want you all to keep me in prayer because July the 31st, I will be having surgery on my throat. I went to the ENT, and they found polyps on my vocal cords. That's what was causing me to go through a lot of the hoarseness and having the sore throats and everything like that. So I just want you all to keep me in prayer, you know. I said I wasn't worried about it, but it seemed like the closer it gets to the time, you know, I'm getting that little shakiness. But, you know, I know it's all in God's hands. And, you know, I got to do what I have to do.
You're right. Now, T, can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I did just get home, so I'm just getting everything situated here. But, T, you had mentioned the situation with your daughter.
Yes.
Now, I know what's going on. But
right.
For anyone that doesn't know what's going on, if you wouldn't mind just sharing that.
Well,
I know it's been sitting in your heart, and I've been talking to you about it, but hopefully our spiritual leaders, or I know our spiritual leaders will be able to give you some words of encouragement on it and just give you their feedback on it.
Okay, well, and it may be petty on my part, but, you know, it's the thought, yes, it's materialistic, but what happened, when I went down for her birthday, I had taken my video camera and my digital camera with me. So when I got ready to leave, you know, I was like, oh, man. I said, I need to go upstairs and get, you know, my camera. And she was like, Mom, you know, leave it here with me. You say you're coming back the weekend, but I didn't make it back that week, that particular weekend. So my neighbor, used to be my neighbor, had a block party for her two sons' birthday this month. And we normally do that every July when I was living there. So she was like, please come. So, you know, I went on down there that Saturday. So that Sunday when I was getting ready to leave, you know, I was like, Key, where's my camera, baby? You know, I'm going to take my cameras back with me. And she looked at me real stupefied, and I'm like, why are you looking at me like that? You didn't leave no cameras here, Mom? Kiara, yes, I left cameras there. You know, don't try to make me look like I'm stupid. So, yes, of course, I got upset. I you know, because she went another room looking for it, you know, and I'm like, okay. Something told me not to leave it, you know. A year and a half ago, somebody supposedly stole my laptop from where she was staying. You know, and I'm like, I mean, you know, you just let people come, your surroundings, and just take things from you like that, you know. Mm-hmm. But then I had to think, because I was talking to my friend, and, you know, he was like, well, you think she might have pawned it?
Mm-hmm.
And so she could get it back before, you know, before you ask for it, that could be possible too. You know, because my daughter is just, I don't know even how to even explain it, but, you know, she has a place to come to. But you choose to go from place to place. And that's what she threw up in my face. Like, you know, I was so angry with her. I just left her place. Not knowing about the bus systems or nothing. Nothing. So I'm out there just crying. It's 100 degrees out there, knowing I have no business out there in that heat. You know? And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to find my way. So I got on the bus, you know, and I went to Broad Street, and I don't know, I got off, they was telling me, well, you go down these steps and you catch the train going north and this and that, you know, and I'm like, oh, my God. So I go down these one set of steps. There's nobody there for me to, like, give money to. They were saying, well, you have to go on the other side. So I had to come back up some more steps. I mean, I was just so out of it. I was just sitting there crying because I didn't know where I was, where to go, anything. It took me about 2.5 hours to really just get to where I need to be. And this one man, that, you know, I'm the people that know about Philly, they have these people called hacks that's like cabs, but, you know, they charge less. So this guy, he walked up to me, and I was like, well, he was like, what's wrong? And, I mean, I just, it just came out like, listen, I don't know where I am. I don't even really know where I'm supposed to be going, you know. And I told him where I needed to go. So he was like, you know what, don't worry about it. I will take you there. So, you know, I'm on the train, and I'm just, like, all just stressed out. 4-hour ride, you know, I get to Rahway. I have to sit there for, like, 1 hour and 15 minutes or more. Coming down, I got on the train to come home. Sitting there just still crying. I mean, I've just been crying. Like, you know, how and why are you going to throw these things up in my, you know, face about, like, it's my fault because you're going through what you're going through and you don't have to. So I end up missing my stop in Asbury. Had to go to the next stop. Thank God I called my friend, and she came and got me because, you know, I didn't even have the money with me to even catch a cab, which would have probably been about $10. Now I'd have paid $4 just to get all the way from Philly, basically. You know, and I'm like, my goodness, you know. And I talked to Lavina about it, and she was like, you know, somebody has to break the ice. You're going to have to be the bigger and better person. So I called her. I think it was Monday or Tuesday. Wait a minute, it might have been Tuesday. Monday or Tuesday, I forget which day it was. She didn't answer the phone. So what she did was text me. You know, I love you too, Mom. So I asked, I said, is my grandson back? He's with his other grandparents, and that's a, excuse me, another story, you know. But she knows that I can't get him right now because what's the use of me getting him? And then I have to take him back because, you know, with this surgery coming up. So, I mean, I'm texting her back and forth, back and forth. And I was like, well, I would still want to get the baby, you know, a little bit this summer. You know, and she was like, well, I don't know how you're going to get him because I don't have money to get down there. So I'm like, okay, if I would have brought him down here, how were you going to get down here? And you're supposed to be going to the surgery with me. But now all of a sudden you don't have money. So, you know, I've been texting her like, you know, hey, how you doing today, da-da-da, you know. And she has one word, you know, okay. And she don't say nothing else. Well, you know, I'll text her and say, well, Key, you know, this is crazy that we're even going through this. Because at the end of the day, I'm still your mother. You know, how would you feel if I let someone or all of a sudden your thing just disappeared? You know, and mm-hmm. Like I said, do you all feel like I'm wrong for being upset about, you know, my things? These are my personal belongings. You know, and then for her to try to play me stupid, like, you know, I didn't leave it there. Come on. That's the last thing I told you, to take care of my camera.
Right. Okay. Well, before we answer and give you our answer on it, we do have our special guest for this evening. She's a first-time author, Kimberly Drew Silva. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to bring out one of the line, please. And then we're going to continue to answer your question as well as check in on the progress with you with the project that you, that we have going on. So I'm just going to give her on. I'm going to bring her on the air, and then we'll continue with you, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Author Kimberly Silva, are you there?
I'm here, Lavina. How are you?
Doing pretty good. I'm happy to be home. See, I have no idea I'm happy to be home. So how are you today?
I'm very good, very good. And thank you again for having me. It's going to be a wonderful discussion, a wonderful experience. So I'm very appreciative of you having me as part of your show.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I have Minister Weathersby on the line. He is also an author. He's also the host of Spiritual Sunday. He opens up in prayer for us. And we have one of our callers, Steve, is on the line. And he was just sharing a situation that happened with her. But for those of you that did hear what he said, and you do want to go on the air and, you know, press 1 and speak to her and give her your feedback, you can. But we're just going to take a few minutes out for our special guest. Ms. Kim, can you tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. So like Lavina mentioned, I am a first-time author. I never thought I would be an author, and I'm not a writer by background. I'm actually a scientist who had a very a large change of events in my life that brought me to the point of having me write therapeutically. And the first thing I could mention, because I'm very happy to share my testimony with everybody, is that, you know, after going through everything, I can very much testify to the fact that God carried me through this period of my life. And it is something that is like the sky is blue. You know, I know for a fact that I was carried through this. And what happened to me was, a couple of years ago, my first husband, we've been married for almost 12 years, together for 18 years, with 3 very young kids, 5, 6, and 10 years old. He very quickly passed from melanoma, which is the worst skin cancer. And it happened basically from finding out in March of that year that it had gone to his brain, where before that it really was only on his skin, and it had been very, you know, treatable, and we didn't really think too much of it. But in that March, it went to his brain, and it was about 2.5 months later that he passed on to the next world. And it was something where you get your path changes in life. You have all these dreams and aspirations, and everything just changes, like you can't control. And all of your fears are suddenly thrown right into your lap, and it's just a point that nobody ever wants to be in. And he was only 39 years old, and I was only 38 years old. And it's just something that I thought going into it that I was going to have a nervous breakdown, and I was just at my knees when everything took place. But I know that God carried me through everything, and it was just such a whirlwind of events. But it got me to write, and also it was such a blessing, you know, no matter how bad it was a blessing that myself and the kids and several others of his family and my family were able to be there when he actually passed on. And to me, it was as if heaven and God allowed several of us to feel and experience different things, different feelings, different ways of viewing the world and the earth through our eyes, because the gates of heaven were opening up and taking him in. And, you know, in the several days leading up to it and the several days after it, it was as if there was this sort of vortex that opened up, and it was very powerful. And that is one of the ways that I was carried, but it was a blessing that I was able there to hold his hand while he passed on to the next world. And when I started writing afterwards, it was mostly to be therapeutic, but then it got to be that, you know, it was just very healthy to capture things for others to have an awareness, because when I was going through the experience, I was looking for information about, well, I don't know what it's like to watch your husband decline, you know, get close to dying, what happens to the body. There wasn't a lot of resources out there, and I was struggling very much. And even though the hospice nurses were a blessing, they were very educational, very God-sent. They were wonderful. There was still something that was missing with, you know, knowing what actually takes place. So I started to write about that as well, you know, what happens, you know, to your household? How do you take care of things? Do you take care of 3 kids, the house, the pets, himself, you know, and yourself while not going crazy on your own? And I got to write a lot and show some people, and I was encouraged to share it with others, and, you know, and the fact that it may help others. It's not a prescriptive book. It is more of, you know, a lot of it is actually a testimony to my faith and to God helping me through it. And, you know, I've received a lot of feedback that has been very helpful to many others.
Amen. Amen. And that's actually what made me reach out to you, because I was looking around and on Facebook, and I had seen the title of your book, Light at the End of the Tunnel. And Life at the End of the Tunnel. And I'm like, wait a minute, let me see, you know, exactly what you're talking about. And as I read on your Life page, where it gives you this, a short description, you know, of your book, I'm like, wow, like, to be able to go through everything and then be able to write a book about it. I said, that's a testimony all by itself, you know, and I just got chills, like, just reading, you know, certain clips, and I'm like, wow, like, to think that there is someone out there that's comfortable enough to share that testimony, you know, because usually when I come into contact with people, you know, they share their testimony, but rarely ever do they have the testimony of that someone had passed away and they had watched them, you know, pass away, and they had watched them be sick all through, you know, the transition. So definitely to read it, I was just like, you know what, I need her to come on, you know, Spiritual Sunday and just share her testimony, you know, as well as just give the information about your book. So this way, you know, people can read it for themselves, you know, because like you said, it's a wonderful testimony. It's a wonderful testimony. And I, you know, on behalf of GC Palace, we you know, send our condolences, you know, to you, you know, and we commend you for everything that you've done, you know, just to be able to share your testimony with everyone else. And therapeutic, I say yes, because it's going to help someone else that's going through, you know, a situation that's similar, you know, to it. And I commend you. I commend you.
Yeah. Well, is Mr. Weatherby going to speak?
No, I'm going to let you go ahead.
Well, Levine, I really appreciate that. And honestly, you know, I don't know how I did it other than, you know, being carried. And I take no credit for getting through it. And I do look back, and there was something that carried me from God through prayers from others. And I know I was on hundreds of people's prayer lists, and as was my husband. And, you know, sometimes, you know, your prayers don't get into the way that you want, but you still get a lot of help and assistance. And for some reason, even though we don't know why things turn out the way they do, and I'm sure, you know, in the next world we'll have a lot more answers, but it was quite a growing experience. And I saw, you know, my husband as the bravest person I've ever seen, you know, trying to fight something. Like, I know I couldn't be that brave, and I know most people that I know couldn't be that brave. And it was just, it was very painful to need to, you know, talk to him about the things that you never thought you'd have to say to your husband, you know, to let them know that as it was getting clear that he wasn't going to make it and he was coming to terms with that. And then as his wife, I had to tell him that I'm okay, you know, I will be okay, the kids and I will be all right, and, you know, now it's between you and God in terms of, you know, when you go. All those things you never imagine when you take the vows of till death do us part, but it was stuff that, you know, you kind of have to face head on or else it's going to plow you over, and that was the attitude and a lot of prayers that went with it that I took.
Amen. Wow.
Amen.
Ooh.
That is a powerful testimony, because one would not expect somebody going through what you went through to come out of it in the way that you have, but that's the power and testimony of God. And when we have a relationship with Him in our lives, that He's able to bring us our most difficult times, be able to produce may have been in some way therapeutical while you were going through it, but it's gonna definitely benefit others that may be going through life experiences as a blessing. And it's just the beginning of what God is just showing forth in your life that He has another plan and purpose for you that goes beyond what you've done up to this point.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I still feel like, oh my God, you know, like you ever like hear someone's testimony and it just touches you, you know, and
yeah.
You know, to for me myself, I know with me being not married yet, you know, even though we say we are, you know, not married yet, but to know that, you know, he's sick and I'm always constantly on him to take his medication and everything, and I find myself getting worried from time to time. Like, I'll lay and I'll just watch him sleep, you know, or if it's one of those times when he's in the hospital, I'm just right there, right next to the bed. I don't want to go home. I just want to stay there, you know, just make sure he's okay and make sure when the doctors come in that I can hear what they're saying myself. So this way I don't have to worry about him telling me something different, you know, because he had a situation like that where he left out some information, you know, and I was so upset and bothered by it because it was important information. It was about his health. So to be able to, you know, to hear you and just hear how strong you are and how, you know, God did carry you and he continues to carry you through this time, you know, it's truly amazing. And it lets you know that even though you have to watch this happen because it's beyond your control, you know that there's no more pain and suffering, you know, that he's going into a better place. You know, and that this way he doesn't have to suffer. He doesn't have to be in pain, and there's no more illness. You know, I think that just watching how strong you are actually helps your kids at the same time, you know, because they're able to see and understand that, you know, even though they're so young, it's, you know, when God calls someone home, he calls you home. When there's a sickness that's not curable, you know, or that acts, you know, rapidly, you know, that right there just takes you through a whole loop, you know, by itself. And I want to commend you. I definitely want to commend you with everything, you know, that you're doing. And I wish you, you know, much success, you know, with your book. What we're going to do just really fast is we're going to go to a song, and then we're going to come back and continue talking to author Kimberly Silva. I'm pronouncing your last name correctly, right, Silva?
Yes, that's perfect. Thank you.
Okay. We're going to go to a song, and then when we come back, we're going to just continue on with the rest of the show, okay? Everyone just hold the line.
Amen.
Amen. Sounds good.
Worrying,
when I let go,
and I let go.
Having a little bit of technical difficulties here, and I'm not sure why, but it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Is everyone still there?
Yes.
If you are.
Yeah.
Mm. Author Kimberly, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. So where is your book available to be purchased?
So the book is available on Amazon.com as a paperback and also as a Kindle form. And it's also available through BarnesandNoble.com. And actually, you can get it through a lot of your local bookstores. I try to also support the independent booksellers because they can also order it, you know, through their systems, and some of them also carry it in their stores. So it is available at quite a few places.
Okay. And then the name of your book is Life at the End of the Tunnel, right?
Yes. Life at the End of the Tunnel by Kimberly Brue Silva. It's B-R-U-E, Silva, S-I-L-V-A. And the subtitle is Lost and Found, A Widow's Story of Loss and Then Finding Life at the End of the Tunnel.
It's a wonderful title by itself.
Amen.
It's wonderful by itself. Wow. And what words of encouragement would you give someone who is in a similar situation or
someone that might have been in a similar situation, what words of encouragement would you give them to help them?
How much time do you have?
We're here for nine.
Yeah, there's, you know, it was funny because I do a Facebook fan page, and some people had asked me that advice, and when I just sat and wrote from the heart, it ended up being about, you know, 6 or 7 paragraphs long. And some of the main things that I could point out are, you know, everybody has to go through their own process of grief, and nobody's grief can be too short, too long. It's really up to them, and they need to take time for themselves as well and make sure that they can be either the best caregiver or the best griever, you know, in terms of their own health. Of course, for me, you know, prayers helped a lot, keeping an open heart and open mind and soul to everything from up above, whether it was, you know, guiding them through their passing or signs afterwards. I had a ton of signs afterwards, and, you know, my heart and mind were open for it, and I was very appreciative to everything up above for all those sort of, you know, gifts that were received. And then just... humor can help. Writing can help. You make sure you surround yourself with friends and family who are supportive. You know, no matter what your path takes, because you know your path has changed already very quickly, and you know you can just find guidance in many things and follow your heart. And one big thing for me was, you know, I didn't move on, quote unquote. I didn't replace him in my life. I ended up finding happiness again and love again. But my first husband, Kevin, is very much still a part of our lives. And, you know, we still do, you know, we celebrate his birthday with the kids. We celebrate what we call his happy heaven birthday, which is the day that he passed every year. We release balloons and have cake. We do that with the kids every single year. And it's a wonderful way to keep his memory alive and also keep him as part of our lives. So feel free to have anybody contact me if they want the longer 5-paragraph version of all that. But, the things that come to mind right away.
Okay. You did say that you have a Facebook like page. If you wouldn't mind just telling them what the name of that page is, the title for it. So if anyone's looking to go on Facebook and just look you up, and whether they want to, you know, they want words of encouragement, or whether they just want to dig on into something, what information would you give them? Or can you give them your Facebook information so that they can look you up?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's the same title as the book. If you just look for Life at the End of the Tunnel on Facebook. And what I do is I will post, you know, small pieces of the book, but also every couple of days I try to share, whether it's an experience or a poem or a quote that, you know, helps people to reflect about it. Things that are important in life, or things about helping somebody through passing. And I have no problem being very transparent. I guess that's a gift, again, from up above, where talking about the details and, you know, how to help somebody, or how to, you know, still have them in your lives, or how to find happiness again. It's just all examples, and, you know, they can be ways that help others. And I also welcome others to share their experiences as well. So I welcome, you know, all people to join the site and share it.
Amen. Now, will there be another book similar to this one, or did you pretty much just tie everything into your first book?
You know what? Honestly, I mean, I never thought I'd be an author, but it was intimidating. And actually, you know, the husband that I have now, I'm very happy to find him, and he was hugely important in, you know, helping to finish the writing and encouraging me and really helping me know that I could be an author. And one of the things that I thought about writing is also helping the kids to write something from their perspective about, you know, their daddy passing away. And they were very involved in being around him before he passed, and they were present. And so they get it. They know what it's like. They were very comfortable with everything. They're very, you know, open to talking about it. So I think that their perspective as well could help other children that are their age to know what it's like and how you can get through it and how you can be okay. So I want to help them do that. And then I've also thought about, you know, publishing a prequel, I guess, something titled something like let me tell you about your daddy, about, you know, gathering stories about him and his life that would have taken place before the book, because so many memories are, you know, in people's heads, and it would be great to have something for kids and to share, you know, the building of somebody's life, you know, on paper. So that those are some of the thoughts that I've had. But now I'm not afraid of writing anymore, and, you know, I know that it can be done by, you know, a scientist.
That's right. That's right. Amen. 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 Does anyone have any questions for her?
Not me. Oh my goodness. She's all I can say. She's a God-sent woman. I mean, that. I'm lost for words.
Lavina, I'm not all that. Honestly, God helped me through this, and I give praise to Him for, you know, everything that I've done, gotten through. So all my praise goes to Him.
Amen. I would just say it's an awesome testimony to have, because I know that it's times like these that really try the faith of a person. And usually you'll find people walk from the Lord because of an experience like this. So I think it's an awesome testimony, and I'm sure it's going to help somebody. And I'm assured of one thing, that, you know, it's hard to explain why God does things in the way that He does so that it makes sense to us. But He has a way of taking our experiences and allowing us to use that so that it can benefit somebody else.
You know what, honestly, Minister Weatherby, I have to tell you that my whole belief, all my beliefs have been solidified by all of this. But before all this happened to me, I was very spiritual to begin with. And it had been more philosophical. You know, they were beliefs and philosophies, and I thought a lot about, you know, where is God physically, where is heaven, all those kind of things. Even, you know, as a scientist, I was thinking about quantum physics and, you know, where could it actually be. And as I went through this, I came out of it, and they are no longer beliefs for me. They're more of knowledge. It's as if somebody would say to you, do you believe that the sky is blue? You'd say, no, I know the sky is blue to me.
Right.
So I know that these things, you know, are very real to me now, and it's much more powerful. So it's even drawn me closer with all the things that were, you know, my spiritual beliefs beforehand.
Absolutely. And that's what He does. I mean, He uses our experiences to bring us close to Him.
Yes.
I think it's an awesome testimony. I was just visualizing the process. It's difficult. It's difficult to watch someone whom you love pass away right before your very eyes.
Amen. Yes.
The deterioration in their body and the struggle that the individual is going with, because, you know, as tough as it is for those that have to experience it as a loved one, it's even tougher for the individual. Because, you know, they're seeing that they're unable to do things that they've been used to able to do without even a second thought. And now and now they have to become dependent upon somebody to look after them, take care of them, and be there and just, you know, to constantly watch out for them. And that's a difficult thing.
Yes,
it is. I'm just going to go to... We're going to bring on a caller real fast. Welcome to Geeky Power Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Hi, Minister Teresa Sanders.
Hi, Minister Sanders. How are you?
Hello. Wonderful. How are you all doing?
Hello.
All right.
Great. I have a testimony, but first I just want to say I have really enjoyed the show. Really, really enjoyed every word of encouragement, author Silva. I really enjoyed listening to how your book has impacted so many. I'm going to definitely buy it. I want to definitely send my condolences to all that were lost that Sister Lavina mentioned. I'm just really enjoying the show. I want to say thanks to GQ Palace, thanks Sister Lavina for making yourself available the way you do and offering this platform. It is so needed at a time like this. So just want to just give my thanks up front. my testimony. I had a dream, you know, when I caught that verdict that Zimmerman was not guilty, I had some hatred in my heart. And then I fell off to sleep with it, and I started dreaming. And I dreamed about different things I'd done wrong in my life, you know, that I actually had forgotten about you all. And it was just a scary dream, you know. And right when I was getting up, I didn't see anyone, but I kept hearing this voice. I brought you from it. I brought you from it. I brought you from it. And so the testimony is of understanding. We have to remember that each one of us have done things wrong in our lives, and it's so easy to say what someone deserves to happen to them when we're not on the receiving end of it. And I just believe as leaders, each and every one of us, not necessarily ministry leaders, but just as a leader, I consider, even though Lavina is not a minister, I consider her to be a leader just because of what she does and the platform she has. As an encourager, God called her to do this and calls each and every one of us who, if someone is listening to you, you have the opportunity to encourage them. And if we say we love the Lord, if we say we truly trust him, then when everyone else wants to be bitter and everyone else wants to not forgive, then that's the time where God needs to use us Christians the most. You know, like that woman at the well who was a prostitute, you know, God knew she'd done wrong. And he tell us if we don't have any sin, we can cast a stone at her. Well, that goes the same thing for that guy, Zimmerman. God knows he's wrong, but we have to reserve our judgment and reserve our hatred and bitterness toward him and still love and still pray. And I just believe that the author's special guest, the reason her book is so impacted is because she allows God to lead her. Minister Arthur is so strong because of how he allowed God to lead him. You know, we all make mistakes, but God will bring us out of anything that we go through. But we have to first remember that we have to love him, we have to trust him, and we have to allow him to lead us. The only scripture I want to mention is Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 and 22, where God used a cloud to lead his people in the daytime and a pillar of fire to lead his people in the nighttime. So if God has somewhere for us to go or something for us to do, there is no mountain high enough, no valley low enough, no one or nothing strong enough to keep God from doing what he has for you to do. He will block your enemy's way, and he will make a way out of what seems to be no way for us. But we have to first love him, and we have to do his will for our life. And I truly believe each caller on the line that spoke, I just feel the presence of God through you all. And I know that it's his purpose that called us to be here tonight. And that woman who has to have surgery, I didn't catch your name, if she's still there, you hold on, my sister. Don't doubt God. I know it's hard. It's not easy, but it's not impossible. You keep on praying to him. You keep on trusting him. Just the fact you called in the GQ Palace tonight and shared your testimony and asked for prayer, God is going to lead you. And I'm going to claim that your throat is going to be healed before you even have surgery. There's power in your tongue. So if you just speak it. The woman of God who's an author, your book is going to sell, it's going to soar. I'm speaking and claiming that. And thank you so much again, Sister Lavina, just for being who you are and for offering this platform and doing what you're doing. I'm going to pray for your soon-to-be husband as well. I understand you totally. A man is not going to tell us everything. It's just out of pride. But just you being close to God the way you are, that's why you always find out and you always know. So y'all going to be just fine. You're already fine. So I'm just glad and pray that he keeps you safe. And just he sees your diligence of you even doing the call while y'all, before you even get home. You can make any excuse, but you come on anyway before you get home. God sees your diligence, and he's going to reward you in so many ways, more than he's done already. So I just want to throw that encouragement in there and throw my prayers to you. want to throw my transparency in there. I'm not perfect, and yes, I did get into a, I want to go on a riot, I want to go, I can't believe he's not guilty. And I had to think, I wasn't there. I don't know what happened, but that's not for me to know anyway. We're not supposed to lean to our own understanding, y'all. We have to trust God and let God be God. We have a work we have to do, and we have to let God be God. So I'm just asking, what I want to ask from the GQ Palace and for encouragement for not just me, but for the callers, for anyone who didn't really think the verdict should have went the way it went, or anyone with some kind of bitterness who thinks someone should be punished for something, what encouragement I would ask for encouragement for all of us to realize we're not God, you know, and how to get through this and trust God and keep our hand off of it. So that's the encouragement I'm asking for. Thanks for allowing me to speak.
You're welcome. Well, me personally, what I would say is, because I do find myself speaking to different people about it, especially the patients that I work with at my job, and a lot of them are angry. A lot of them feel like, okay, well, why did this happen? I know this is going to happen. I know now, Ms. Pallette, you know this is going to be the verdict, you know. And unfortunately, even before the verdict was released, I knew. Because when you sit and you watch it and you view everything and you just hear the different things that people are saying on TV and all the social networks and everything, honestly, I knew myself that he was going to be found not guilty. You know, do I believe in my heart that he's guilty? Honestly, I feel like he has to answer to God for that, you know. And everybody can walk around being upset, being angry, want to riot. And, you know, my thing is take all that negative that you have and make it something positive. Reach out to the family. Reach out to the young adults. Reach out to everyone that feels like they have to go and retaliate at this point, because I think that it's unfortunate, but it makes everything more in an uproar, because then they're going to completely say, okay, this is a race thing. This is a race thing. It's a race thing. I think that when everyone makes it a race thing, it actually makes the races go against each other. So when you think back and you do all your history of how far that we came to allow something or someone to cause a setback, I think that that's unfortunate. So my words of encouragement, my encouragement would be to take that negative energy that you have and make it something positive. Reach out to someone and help someone out. Reach out to the family and pray for the family. You know, send cards. Get the young adults together, make a card, send it to the family, go to the grave site, reach out and make it something positive. Don't channel it towards the negative, because I believe in my heart that everyone has to face God at the end of the day. And whatever he did, however it happened, he will have to answer to God for that. I'm not here to judge anybody. You know, my thing is take that negative, make it positive, and let's all work together.
Amen.
Amen. And I would say this: I didn't really follow this trial or even the stuff that preceded up to the trial that much, because I don't like to get into that kind of stuff, because you just get things that are, you know, that are put in the media and you don't always get the full story. But nevertheless, what I liked about what I heard at the end was what the mother and apparently maybe one of the other children that might have said something about it as well. After they heard the verdict, the mother said that she did all that she could, and that she was going to church tomorrow morning. So that was yesterday when she made that statement. And
yeah,
yeah. I like that, because that shows somebody that has a relationship with the Lord, and also realizing, like we're saying, that what we have to understand about judging, and I know there's a big issue in the church, particularly with Christians. The Bible tells us about judging and tells us to refrain from judging, but what it does not say is that we will not judge, and that's what people have to understand. There's things that goes on in the Bible that the Bible talks about. The judging that we cannot do as just people, we cannot judge anyone to condemnation. We can't condemn anybody to hell. We can't judge for them. But there is some judging that God allows us to do, as long as we don't condemn someone. But the point of the matter is that there is one righteous judge, and he's going to judge the quick and the dead. We don't know what happened. We'll never know what happened. Only three people know. The two people. And everyone's going to stand before him on the judgment day. He says that he judges the quick and the dead. So I like what the family said from the mother's side. You know, they did all that they could, and from that point on, he put it in God's hand. And it just reminded me of what happened when the children of Israel were faced at the with going through what they were going through after being delivered, and they found themselves at that bridge. God told Moses to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Yeah.
So there's a great song that Pastor Donnie McClure can sing that says, "Stand. When you've done all that you can, just stand.
Just stand.
Your faith and trust in God."
Mm-hmm.
And I just thank God for that. I think for me, when I look at things like that, I always look for the light at the end of the tunnel. I believe that there's always an inherent good in every negative.
Right.
For me, the good of this all was what happened at the end with Trayvon's mother and that statement that she made. So if anything, if people want to do anything to support her, then they need to follow her lead.
That's right.
Amen.
What would you say, hon?
Well, do what I did. I mean, because I went through it for a minute last night.
Uh-huh.
And I just started praying. You know, because at the end of the day, what good is it going to do to start a riot when, you know, only other people are going to end up getting killed? You know, innocent people. So, I mean, God will, like you said, God will handle Zimmerman, you know. Unfortunately, yes, it was a kid that died, you know, but we don't know the whole story. We wasn't there, so how can we even conquer to go and say, well, you know, I think that we need to do this, we need to do that. It's not going to help. It's not going to help. All it's going to do is land somebody in jail and hell, bottom line.
Amen.
Because whoever killed whoever, they're going to end up in jail. The other person, you know, depending on your life, you're going to be in hell. So what good is it going to do? None.
Okay.
Just leave it alone. Let go. Like the song just said, let go and let God.
Pray on it. Just pray.
It's nothing that can be done now. You know? Doing anything to him, it's not going to bring him back. If you go out here and kill somebody else, that's not going to bring that child back. So, I mean, you know, I did. I got very upset. And I said to hold my tongue. Whew. And, I mean, I had to think about it.
I did, too.
You know, and that's the way I feel about it.
Amen.
Amen. Author Kimberly, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Would you like to answer Minister Sanders' question of words of encouragement that he gives regarding the Trayvon Martin case?
Yeah, you know, I think that she and you both had excellent points of, you know, channel that energy. We shouldn't be judgmental. We can't, like, condemn them to hell or heaven or whatever. That's not up to us. And if there's so much energy to cause riots, you know, and all that Minister Weatherby said, you know, write letters to the mother. I mean, the mother was going to church.
Okay.
So, you know, put your energy into showing your caring and thoughts for her and her family. And it's still a loss. You know, she's still going through a lot of pain. So instead of burning a car or doing this or that, to help them, and, you know, let's not be judgmental about everything, and, you know, all of that is up to God, and, you know, help the people that need some help right now.
Right. You
Amen.
Know, because she's probably going to feel bad if this does happen, you know, like, all this because of me. You don't know what could end up happening to her family with this going on. If you decide to riot or whatever, you know, they end up doing. You don't know what could happen to her family. Her family could be in jeopardy if they go out and start riding and, you know, doing other things. You don't know what could happen. You know, and like his attorney said, he's going to have to live with this. You know, I'm praying nothing happened to the man because two wrongs don't make a right.
That's it right there.
Yeah.
That's it right there. And prayer has to be given for all parties concerned. The Bible tells us that we are to pray for even those that spitefully use and abuse us.
Amen.
So, amen. Not them ones that you like and that you love. You got to pray for the ones that hate and
that's true.
And I'm going to tell you, all the way in New York, you know, all the way in New York, even though this happened in Florida, Rich had an event tonight that he was going to be judging and hosting, and the event got shut down last night. They called and listened. We can't do this, you know, event tonight because they were afraid of a riot.
What could happen?
Mind you, it's called the Hip Hop Parade, where it's a format that's set up for up and coming artists to come out. It's a showcase. They come out, they perform, and the end result, after it's judged, they win like $1,000 in studio time and everything with nonstop media. And they canceled it last night. They said there's no way. Now, mind you, the owner of the facility didn't cancel it. The NYPD canceled it.
Whoa.
So, and the owner of the club, he didn't cancel it. Now, this came straight from the NYPD and their board of elections that they had, and they said, listen, we can't even allow this show to take place because they were afraid that something was going to happen. And I was talking to Rich about it earlier. I'm like, yeah, well, you know what? You never know what people might do. You never
know. That's true.
Why I say take that negative energy that you might have and make it something positive. You know, my goal for tomorrow, I'm going to go to work, and me and some of the patients that's there, we're going to do cards, you know, because they're young girls, but a lot of them are behavioral, and they're ready to fight. You know, as soon as they see somebody, they want to fight. And, you know, part of my job is patient safety. It's not to keep them encouraged, but I do it anyway because I feel like it's in me. You know, this is what, you know, I believe that I was called to do, and I'm going to continue to do it to the best of my ability. So I'm going to continue to encourage them where they might meet other people like they want to fight, you know, and they agree that they want to fight, and now these people want to go fight, and, you know, someone has to be the voice of reason somewhere, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
The positive people, and you want to look at a situation and say, okay, well, you know what? Trayvon's mom says she's going to church in the morning. You go to church in the morning.
Exactly.
And you pray, right. I pray for everyone. You know, I pray for the people that don't like me. I pray for the evil people that come into my life. I pray for everybody. Because at the end of the day,
because you're
going to
get your reward at the end of the day.
But whatever ill will that they might have, you know, it's only a test to see where I am mentally. You know, am I going to react like the old Lavina that would have reacted about 5-10 years ago? No, I'm not going to react like that. I always say I pray that God helps me with my tongue all the time. I do. And I'll put on Facebook sometimes that, you know, okay, you know, the devil is busy. You know, I have to pray that I don't give someone a tongue lashing because there's a lot of power behind your tongue. And I'm learning that you have to be mindful what you say. And sometimes you have to pause before you say it and think about it before you say it. So I'm going to continue just to pray for everybody.
That's all we can do. I mean, you know, like I said, we weren't there. And even if we were there, who are we to judge? That's God's job.
Amen. If I could just say one more thing. And can you hear me? Anyone hear me?
Yes.
Thank you so much, Lavina and Minister Arthur, and all of you made such valid points. We're not supposed to judge. I just want to reiterate a point Minister Arthur pointed out, like that woman at the well who committed adultery. God knew she was wrong, and, you know, he said all of us around that want to judge her and stone her, stop for a minute. Now look over your life. Now if you haven't done anything wrong, you can stone her. You can do this. You can do my job. If you perfect like I did when I walked the earth, I didn't sin. Now, if you did that, then you can stone her. But if you made a mistake, if you have sinned and I forgave you,
you're going to have to go about your business. And no one could do anything to that woman. One by one, they left. So we all as a people just stop. Every time we go into that judgment stuff and want to condemn somebody, stop and pause, like Bettina just said, pause and just look over your own life and realize, okay, I'm not perfect either. Not what I just said last week or not what I just did. God forgave me for that. Then we may be able to just pray for people and, you know, and just stop putting ourselves on such a pedestal and acting like we're up here, you know, because we are all the same. We are all sinners saved by the grace of God. His grace covers us all that serve him and love him. We're not there with that guy. And like the woman of God just said, we don't know what happened. So we just have to let God be God. And I just ask, you know, at the end of the call, for prayer for those to just realize God is God and we are us and he has a work to do. It is power in our tongue. So just to use it to pray for each other and love each other. Love those that use us and persecute us. Not just those that's there for us, but love the ones who don't really love us back. That is not easy, but it's not impossible. So I just ask for prayer for that. And I really enjoyed the call
tonight. Look, it's harder to, you know, take that negative energy than it is for the positive. It's easy for the positive energy. It's harder for the negative energy because then you got to walk around with a blue face on all the time and, you know, your
right.
spirit not right. And that takes, for me, that takes a lot more energy. That takes a lot more energy.
And one other thing, Ms. Teresa, I just want to make sure that folks understand because for me, I'm not still a sinner saved by grace. I'm born again. I'm a new creation in Christ. Oh,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Sinner, prior to salvation, when we were sinners, we were practicing sin. And I no longer practice sin, so I ain't no sinner still. I'm gonna have to devour myself of that association, because I know I won't look at myself as a sinner. Yes, we all sin. Fall short of the glory of God, but
right.
I pray that if you're born again, that you're not still a sinner. Because if that be the case,
amen.
That be the
amen.
Case, guess what? You ain't saved.
There's a problem.
Amen.
Right. And there's a problem. There's a
yeah,
big
not.
Problem. But what we're going to do, we're going to bring on another caller. Welcome to CQ Power Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
This is Kia. Hello, good evening, everyone.
Hey, Kia.
Hi, Kia. How are you?
I'm blessed, thank you, and highly favored. I woke up this morning, you know, knowing my God is awesome.
Yes.
I thank God for trial and mercy. You know, I came down to D.C. because, you know, death is up.
Yeah.
We had this centennial anniversary down in D.C. I'm going to share something with my soul, Bishop McKenzie told the, you know, flock of everybody today. What looked like a miscalculation on an old rugged cross, God used it so we could stand on our ground. She shared that this morning in church as we, you know, church this morning, as sickies, something dealt us from all across the world came to pay homage for this 100th anniversary, you know, and then last night just to celebrate, and then, you know, the verdict came in, and, you know, everybody just stopped and prayed. You know, you pray without ceasing. My mother always said, pray without ceasing. But I thank God. I thank God who's awesome. I thank God for just keeping me covered. I thank God for traveling mercy. Thank God for traveling mercy for everybody traveling back, as I'm going to head back in another 3 hours. But I just thank God. I just thank him, just in spite of everything that's going on, I thank him.
Please enter your password, then press pound.
But I just thank him. I continue to keep praying. T, you're always in my prayer.
Please enter your password, then press pound.
I'm thanking God for my brother's strength. He's getting much more stronger now each and every day. Did he come home here?
Unfortunately, the system cannot process your entries. Please try again later. Goodbye.
Bye, guys. I just thank you for your prayers for him, but he's getting stronger. I heard he was up and about today. Got a text.
Amen.
That's good. That's a good thing that he's up and about. So I thank God for
him
stronger now, you know, and everything is good. I haven't seen him since he's been up and about yet, so I'll probably see him sometime during the middle of the week, this coming week. But I heard he was up and around, and that's good. And, you know, back to doing some other, you know, light duties and stuff like that. But God is good, and we serve an awesome God.
Amen. Now, Tia, you are one of, I'm going to say, one of DQ Palace's avid readers. You read all the time. So,
I know, I do. I'm a big campaign for literacy. This morning was drive. When I was in high school, my high school days, elementary days, my favorite place was the library. My mother could drop me off at the library at 11 o'clock, and she better not come back and get me till probably 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I lived for the library without even cheerleading, but I love the library. I believe that every child should have a library card and should be able to go to the library. I'm a big advocate of reading, a big advocate of literacy. We should all pick up a book. We should all know to read. We should all have read some top 100 books. I do believe that.
Well, our special guest this evening is author Kimberly Silver. And
okay.
I'm going to turn it over to you, author Silver. If you can just share with Tia a little bit about your book and everyone that just tuned in, a little bit about your book, your title, and just like a brief description about it, please.
Absolutely. So thank you again. And Tia, it's great to hear that you're a reader. That's awesome. I'd love to, you know, share some of your favorite books as well. And I never thought I'd be an author. So it's a pleasure of mine to share about my book that I wrote and published in January of this year. It's titled Life at the End of the Tunnel, and it's about going through the transformation of the passing of my first husband when he was 39 years old from melanoma. And actually, on the first page or so, one of the credits that I give is to God for, and I'll read it to God, thank you for allowing me to completely understand the phrase, it was then that I carried you, because I can give my own testimony that, you know, I felt carried through the whole experience. And the book goes through hearing the news, you know, from that March when we found out that the cancer had gone to his brain, and then it was less than 3 months later that he had passed on to the next world. And because of that swiftness of everything and going through it all with the three kids that were very young, they were 5, 6, and 10 years old at the time, I wrote therapeutically and then turned it around into a book, especially to give just one example of how you can find, you know, life again. And I found happiness again, and since then I have remarried to a wonderful man who welcomes, you know, all of this about my first husband and still keeping him as part of our lives. So it's been more of a transfiguration, not just a transformation, and I really do credit it to be carried, you know, by God. And so the book is out there, and it's been, I've received a lot of comments that it's been very helpful to people in similar situations. So, Kia, if you have an open spot on your reading list, you know, it'd be great to get your feedback.
I'm definitely going to look for it. I'm pretty sure it's up there on the page, and especially a lot of my sources that down here that we were just talking about the book that you find in Left Jersey, the book that author that A.L. King was on the show. So the book that you've written, I would love to read, because those type of books, that's something everyone goes through.
Yeah.
Yes. And the information is in the GQ General Questions.
I'm going on Amazon Prime, so I would see it. And if it's on Goodreads, which I'm a frequent Goodreads, you know, average, you know, I know some authors who say, you know, I wrote the book, I want you to tell me what it, you know, like, I love, and I do, I love to read. I love to still go to the bar, but I can't wait to get up to Harlem next week to the book fair.
Oh, God. Now, Minister Weathersby, are you going to be at the book fair next week in Harlem? Because you're an author as well.
No, I'm not. I had no knowledge of the book fair in Harlem, so no, I had no plans of being there.
For the past, I didn't go last year. I didn't go the year before last because for some reason my mother plans to go to South Carolina the day before the the Harlow Book Fair, which I love the book fair. I go every year, 2011, I didn't go. 2010, I didn't go because I just flew up to Carolina that week. But it's an awesome event where a lot of authors come out there, showcase their books, get to talk to them. But they have it all the time, the third Saturday in July for years. So it's all, and then right there, they, you know, showcasing. Sonya Sanchez is going to be showcased this Friday because of her work and stuff like that. So I'm a big supporter of the arts and books. I really am. This is what I concentrate on a lot because I'm a big literacy campaign. I love for people to read. You have to, you know, our children to read. I love to hear third graders read. I heard third graders read before the last day of school. So I love to read.
So then, Tia, when I asked you if you got my two books, you're
going to
say yes, right?
No, I didn't get your two books. I'm serious. I'm going to get your two books, too. And I still got your two books. And you can drink me on your books, because one thing about me, I read it and drink it. I read. That's one thing about me. I can read your two books. You can tell me, and I can tell you exactly what I read from chapter to chapter, because that's what a book is so enticing. Good. You remember everything about that book and everything about that author.
Oh, yeah, you remember mine. They're very short, right, Lavina?
Lavina. Lavina. Yes, sorry. Yes, sorry. I was getting
a call. I said, yeah, they're
yes. Very short. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you, though. I'm gonna say yes, because I know you're not going to stand me wrong. But I'm going to say yes. But what am I saying yes to? We have another caller, and you know I'm in the studio, so sometimes I go to the screening room. No, Minister Weathersley's books are not very long. No, actually, it's not long at all compared to like the books that we have that we've received from like other, you know, authors and everything. Those books are huge, but Minister Weathersley's books are not long at all. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put the link for his book. Well, I'm going to go on his Facebook page and put that in the forum as well here so that you can get that. But what I want to do, because it's about 8:47, and I want to bring on one more caller, and then after we bring on the caller, I do want everyone to be able to help T with the question that she had asked. I'm sorry, T. We kind of just went a little off the topic real quick, but I'm going to bring on one more caller, and then we're going to speak to him for a second, and then we're going to answer your question, T, that you had, okay. And then to check in with you to see how you've been, okay?
All right.
Welcome to GQ Power Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Hi, this is Dave, and my second is up. I'm sorry.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
With your second
is
up.
You said you're going to speak to me for a second, so my second is up. So I can just say hi and bye and tell
stop
me,
it,
I can pray for her.
Look, actually, you'll be able to help us with Keith's question as well.
Well, what is the question? Because I actually wanted to touch base on two things. I'm kind of late right now, but I wanted to touch base on two things. Before I hear the question, the thing as far as Trayvon, one thing that we need to understand here is that there's a personality in this world that comes to rob, kill, and destroy. He also comes to distract. And it's unfortunate that the keepers of the great seal of this world kind of use the us as a distraction, if you follow what I'm saying. And sometimes they need that distraction so that they can go back into those dark rooms and do what they do best. And that's either create anarchy or create conflict so that they can say that they actually are solving these problems. But just be mindful that we see physical bodies doing things, but there's a spirit that carries that body along, you know. And in order to deal with the spirit, you have to be in the spirit. You can't deal with the flesh with the flesh. You have to deal with the spirit in the spirit. And that's basically just what I wanted to stand. I'm not surprised by what happened. I'm not going to get all outraged and crazy about it because I understand there's something else working behind the scenes. And that in itself allows me to have solace and allows me to maintain my composure. One beautiful sister said something about casting stones. If I live in a glass house, my windows will be all broken if I'm throwing stones because I have to look at within myself, and I live in a glass house. So I don't want my windows broken. So I'm not going to throw stones and pass judgment as well, you know, especially if it's cold outside and I have no blankets. You know what I'm saying? But as far as the question, what was the question? Let's see if we can deal with it in a second, and then I can move on.
It's gonna take T longer than a second to get that whole thing out. So I'm just saying.
I'm not gonna go through the whole thing.
The floor is yours.
I know what my feedback is. I was just asking because some of my things came up missing from my daughter, and we kind of had like a little spit spat. And she's really not talking to me right now.
Okay.
And my question was I wrong to confront her and, you know, just tell her that she was wrong for letting my items just go? You know, this is not the first time.
Well, my opinion is and this is only my opinion, and it's not, it doesn't have any effect on the station or anyone in the station with GQ Palace. But basically, I believe you did the right thing, and I'll tell you why. Because out of sight, out of mind, if sometimes just you're quiet and not saying anything, people will think you don't understand what's going on, and they'll continue to do it repeatedly. If you make it known to them that you know what's going on, chances are they're going to be more mindful of it if they intend to do it again. So by you bringing it to the forefront, she's going to think twice whether she's pawning the stuff or whatever the case may be. It's going to make her think twice about doing it, because now she knows that, listen, mommy's up to my tricks, you know, so I got to be real careful. I got to change my tactics, or I just got to change myself, you see? And by changing myself, mommy's going to accept me. By changing my tactics, I'm just going to continue to do the same thing and get the same result.
Well, you know, my thing is, like, I spoke with Lavina for a few hours. Was it Monday or Tuesday, Lavina?
I'm not sure. It was Monday.
But, you know, like Lavina told me, regardless, that's my child. You know, I had to be the bigger and better person and go to her and tell her if it was anything that I said to her Sunday, I was sorry, you know, because she wasn't going to come to me.
But the reason I told her that, for anyone that has any questions about it, the reason that I explained that to T is, as a mother myself, I believe that regardless of what happens, that you should never go to bed angry. You should never go to bed upset. And my thing was, knowing T and then speaking to her, you know, times before about her daughter, I believed in my heart that she wasn't going to be the first person to make that phone call. And she had already went to bed upset. And me personally, I just didn't want her to continue to go to bed upset. And God forbid something was to happen. And they're feuding over something that is material. Yes, it's
right.
Belongings. And my answer was, yes, you were correct for addressing her about it. But now that you've addressed her about it, and honestly, it went nowhere because both people were still upset, and the daughter was upset, and she didn't want to talk, and, you know, and she was upset, and she wasn't speaking. My thing was, okay, then you go to her, and you be the adult that you are, and you explain to her that if you said something that upset her, whether it was the manner or because the conversation got out of control between them. So my thing was, you apologize for anything that you would have said, you might have said that might have upset her. Then you apologize for that. But then you also always tell her that you do love her. You know, you do love her and that you want the best for her. And no matter what she's going through, you're still there for her, no matter what. So this way, she doesn't have it on her conscience and she's not going to bed upset and angry that she's not able to communicate with her daughter. So that was my input to it.
Sister Lavina, can I take 10
yes.
seconds to say something really quick? I know time is of the essence right now. This is Minister Teresa. To you, woman of God, never apologize for not bearing the rod of correction. Now, I agree 100% with Sister Lavina with everything she said. If you're wrong, definitely don't apologize if you behave any way that God didn't tell you to behave. But if you felt some kind of way and that's your child, you, yes, as a mother, you are supposed to go and you are supposed to talk to that person, you know, whether it's your child or anyone, and find out. Now, so as a mother, so you're going to feel all kind of feelings that, okay, maybe I felt I was wrong. Because at the end of the day, she might have done it, but she's your daughter, and you love her whether she's wrong or right. But at the same time, do not ever, ever regret or apologize for correcting that child, because God says, spare the rod and spoil that child. It's a rod of correction that was created to drive out the foolishness in our children. That's the only way we can train them up in the way of the Lord that they don't depart from. So you had to do that. And the devil's going to put all this guilt in your mind and all that, but don't apologize for that. But at the same time, if you're wrong about something, Lavina's right. She gave you 100% advice. Definitely apologize for not behaving the way God says doing, but don't apologize for what you had to do, because you weren't wrong to correct your child.
I didn't apologize to her for, you know, what she did.
Hold on. She didn't. Okay, let me help you with this. Because she didn't apologize. See, I think I'm going to help you with this one. She didn't apologize. Yeah, she didn't apologize for her having any type of regret or her not feeling, you know, her feeling some kind of way. The reason she apologized is because that is her child. And at the end of the day, that's the relationship between those two and the conversation that they were having, both being adults, because her daughter is over the age of 21, and her daughter does have a child. So at the end of the day, if he apologized for the manner in which she conducted herself, that's what he apologized for. That was the apology.
Okay.
The apology was for that. It wasn't for anything as far as any regrets or anything like that. It was a general apology. So when the conversation got out of control, she should have stopped it. And because she didn't, she took it further, and her daughter took it further. And for anyone that's ever been in an argument before, and you know at some point in time somebody should stop, nobody stopped. And in return, he left upset. It took T 4 hours to get home because she was so upset. She went to bed still upset. So the next morning, she was still upset. So that's why she apologized. And the apology that she gave was able to keep the peace for her actions and for her daughter's actions. When her daughter feels that she wants to apologize for her actions, then she will. But my thing is me personally, I don't want to go to bed not one night being upset with anybody without either telling that person that I love them or I'm sorry for the way that I conducted myself. Because I know that that's not God approved.
Amen.
Amen. That's what the apology was for.
Amen.
Yeah, and like I said, at the end of the day, she's still my child. I'm going to love her. Yes, I was very, very upset with her that day. You know, I could have ended up in the hospital out there in that heat, all upset, you know. So she tried to get me to come back to the house. No, I don't even want to look at you right now. You know, and like Lavina said, if something would have happened to my baby, that is my baby, I would have lost it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I still text her daily and tell her, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And I am here for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Phoebe, feel the love, Phoebe.
That was a good thing to do. You know, I speak to Phoebe all the time. And, you know, for anyone that is a parent or who has raised children, you know, anyone can relate when it comes down to you having that unconditional love that you have for your family, that you have for your children. And when something goes wrong, God forbid, something would have happened out there, then that would have been a big burden for somebody to carry. And with peace and with he not feeling 100%, and then with her daughter going through the storm that she's going through, and T, I'm going to tell you again, right now is the time that y'all really need each other. You know, the text messages of I love you, you know, daily. To me, you have to do what feels right in your spirit, that feels right in your heart. And when it comes down to your child and to your children, I know you. You know what I mean? And yeah. you love your children unconditionally, and you're the type of person where you want to be able to help them if you can, but there's a certain level of respect that you demand as well. You know,
mm-hmm.
and you want to make sure that that is upheld, and you raise her a certain way, and now it's time for her to live right and do the right thing. And at the end of everything, she can tell you, I said pray about it. Pray on it,
D.
Pray on it,
D. You did.
You can't force your daughter to say this. You can't force your daughter to do this or the way you might want her to move. No. Pray on it. Pray on it. Pray on it. And that is the best words of encouragement that I can give her, was to pray on it. You know, you can't carry her. You can't force her. But you can pray on it, and you can pray that God sends her the message and that God leads her the right way. So this way she can live right and do the right thing.
Right.
Amen.
And I appreciate it.
Well, we have any beautiful
food here tonight. I have enjoyed
it. Amen. Amen. Lavina, did you? I think I do know Minister what was the book, but I want to make sure you tag that in there as well, so I can get them all at Amazon at the same time.
Okay, I will. And also, for those of you who don't know, I know actually we're after 9 o'clock, and I do apologize. We do have another show coming up, Crossroads Temple with Brother Faith Walker. He'll be coming on, but see, I just want to find out from you, how is your progress? We're working on a project.
Progress is real good. Like I said, it's just the smoke in this. If I could just kick that, and I'm still praying about it, but I guess I'm fighting against God about it, you know, because I'm still smoking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
You know.
And that's a proof of-
But the drinking, I've been doing very good. Haven't messed with it almost last night, but I started praying and I said, you know what? This ain't going to make it no better. So I'm doing very good.
Amen. Amen. And Minister Weathers, for you, going to say something, I think?
I was going to say, amen, that's a good thing, and I would say take that same energy that you use with the drinking and apply it to the smoking as well.
Mm-hmm.
Looking to God, and when you get those urges, you know, call on the name of the Lord.
Oh, I agree.
Amen.
Amen. And see, I didn't get a phone call last night. I heard you mention something about last night. You know, I didn't get a phone call. Minister Weathers, did your phone ring last night?
Stupid.
Nancy, did your phone ring last night?
No, because y'all would have got me last night. But, I mean, that's what I need. I need to be got.
I don't think my phone was ringing last night.
I got off my computer. But look, I did good, though. Like I said, I almost let go. But I started praying. And that's when I had to take down some of those posts that I had put up. I was like, oh, no. We can't do
this. Oh, you're so lucky. You're so lucky because we were at the baby shower last night. So I wasn't on Facebook. I went on to post the pictures and that was it. And you're lucky, see. You're so lucky. That's the thing that you was able to delete the messages real fast. Let me tell you. Minister Weathers, I don't know if you and Tia saw it up there, but now I'm really going to be paying attention to Tia's page now.
Oh.
Well, at least I did say that I took them down.
Yeah, you're right. You're so right.
I believe that I have a prayer that's going to help you out. It's kind of in depth, and it's not going to be able to do in the time that allotted. But basically, what it says is that any generational curses in your life or the children's life will be disconnected. From your heritage, and you also plead that in Jesus' name, as you plead the blood of Jesus over yourself, your children's neighbor. You also are going to say that your children shall be leaders and not followers, and they shall not be bound by any influences of the spirit of this world, and any vicious cycles that is ruling over their head, or through their association, or by incarnation or generational influences, be destroyed. By a whirlwind of the Lord, or any self-inflicted curses through negative confessions, or any, you know, any along those lines. But basically, I have a prayer for you that should work both for you and for your children, and it's called Prayer for Your Seed. And I believe it's gonna be a powerful prayer, not only for yourself, but for your children, to break any generational curses that could be working against you in your life. And I believe that I'll try to get it to you either online, but you're more than welcome to give me a call. I can fax it to you, whatever the case is, but I would definitely like to get this over to you. And Lavina,
okay.
You can also use it as well.
I was going to say, I would like a copy too. I mean, you said C, but once you put it on Facebook where you send it to CP, one of you guys reach out to me and give it to me as well, please.
Well, I don't even have Dave as a friend.
Spell your name. I want to add you as a friend too.
It's DaveBrown, Dave Brown.
Dave what? Burke?
Brown.
Oh.
Like James?
Oh,
like
Dave
James
Brown.
Brown? Yeah, like James Brown. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Except I don't have the Jerry curl.
Okay. So see, you could just tag me in it.
Okay.
You can tag me in it, but I do want to take a few minutes out to definitely thank our special guest this evening, author Kimberly Brew Silva. And author Silver, if you wouldn't mind just giving the title of your book again, so that everyone can make sure that they have it.
Absolutely, Lavina, and thank you again. This has been very touching to me, honestly, and it's been like a gift in sharing this time and everybody's testimony. So I'm very thankful for it. And the title of the book is called Life at the End of the Tunnel by Kimberly Brew Silva, and it's on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, and also I have the Facebook site called Life at the End of the Tunnel. And on that site, I share, it's like additional testimonies, honestly, additional experiences, and people share a lot of information and feelings about people passing on, people finding life again, love again, or just what they're going through. So I welcome all sorts of, comments and feedback and sharing and, everybody. So thank you again, Lavina. I really appreciate this very much.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I just want to thank, of course, all the callers, all the listeners. Minister Weathersley, can you give your information as well out on your books as well, please?
Yes. I have two books, Unless God Builds the House. And the second book is Check the DNA, What Happened to We, Our Family. And they're on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, ChristianBooks.com, Ken.com. And they're available in ebook form on Amazon and Barnes and Noble. And I just want to say real quick, fast, in a hurry, author Kimberly, I liked your page and I purchased two of your books while we were doing the program.
Oh,
oh, you're such a sweetheart. Thank you so much.
Now, Minister Weathersley, I had one more thing for you to do, actually, please. If you wouldn't mind, I know you gave the title of both your books, but can you just give a brief description about what they're about, please?
Yeah, they're about relationship building. The first one, Unless God Builds a House, relationship, particularly focusing in on, I'm sorry, Unless God Builds a House is about primarily focusing on marriage and the foundation that you need to have to build a solid foundational marriage, which is in God. And then the second one is on of course, on and the natural families and our spiritual families, and how when you look in the Bible with regards to marriage and family, you're going to see that there's a direct correlation in those relationships, in the relationship God desires between us and Him. And the message is that if we're not doing those right, you're not doing it right.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Now, up next, we do have Faith Walker coming on the air. We do have another show on Sunday. It's called Crossroads Temple with Brother Faith Walker. And on his show, it's from 9 to 10, so we are late. I'm sorry, Brother Walker. I do apologize.
but we are going to be finishing with Spiritual Sunday in a few minutes. But on Brother Walter's show, he's actually going to be speaking more about the Trayvon Martin case. So, and he also, I believe, will have a special guest on as well. What the Crossroads Temple is about is he interviews gospel hip-hop artists, gospel artists and hip-hop artists, up-and-coming artists. And he has had some pioneers on as well. So if anyone is looking to listen, you don't have to hang up. You can just stay on the line. I believe last week he had on, so the week before he had on the Manhattan. So it's definitely a great show. So if anyone wants to listen, just please make sure you stay on the line so you can continue to hear the show. Minister Weathersby, can you please close in prayer for us this evening?
Amen.
Amen.
Father, Lord God, we come to this hour just saying thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for all that we've heard on this evening, Father God, on Spiritual Sunday. Thank you, Father God, for all the participants. We pray that you continue to be with them and bless them. Lord God, at this time, we're just asking that a prayer for healing, oh, Father God, healing of all relationships, oh, Lord God, anything that is broken, Father God, we're asking for healing and restoration. With regards to our families, oh, Father God, the decisions in the Trayvon Martin case, oh, Lord God, we just pray for healing for all those that are concerned. Father God, we can go on in this evening, oh, Lord God. Although we may be absent from you, absent from one another at this present moment in time as we end this program, Father God, we're going to be with you continually, Lord. Go forth, oh, Lord God. We all the honor, the praise, and the glory. And Father God, we just ask that again, that you just receive our prayers on behalf of those, Father God, who normally ask for prayer, oh, Father God. We ask that you do not, that you be mindful of them and their needs and their concerns, oh, Lord God. And according to your will, Father God, we pray that your will, which is good, acceptable, and perfect, be done in the lives of each and every one. Lord God, we thank you, we love you, we glorify you, we magnify you, we lift you up at this time. This is my humble prayer. In the precious name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray with thanksgiving in my heart. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Amen. Everyone, please have a blessed and safe week. I hope that everyone truly has a productive week, and we look forward to speaking to everyone next week, Sunday, starting at 7 p.m. Everyone can, whoever wants to stand the line, please stand the line so you can discuss the Trayvon Martin case from 9 to 10 with Brother Faith Walker on Crossroads Temple. Have a blessed week.
All right.
Crossroads Temple. This is Faith Walker. I'ma give God praise.
And
now a moment of silence.
Lights off in the temple. Ain't nothing but God in this track right here.
Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me while I'm on this Christian journey.
I took up the cross and there's room for you. Old things pass away
Liquor store still open, the boy still getting it. Getting crunked up, I stay holy and living it. Preacher man going hard, the kingdom's at hand. I'ma sleep one day, wake up a gold man. Want a master plan, he's the masterpiece. He's the beginning and the end, he gon' blast the beat. Come on, come on, come on. Walk with me, Lord, order my steps. I'm going fishing with you, help me cast the net. I wake up every morning cause you give me the breath. I'm on bending knees, Lord, come and order my steps. Walk with me, Lord, order my steps. I'm going fishing with you, help me cast the net. I wake up every morning cause you give me the breath. I'm on bending knees, Lord, come and order my steps. Yeah.
Amen. We break them right here on Crossroad Temple, right here, Crossroad Temple. So we thank God. We thank you for this day. We thank God for this day, another day on Crossroad Temple. But any views expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of Crossroad Temple or GQ Palace or any ministry affiliates. This ministry edifies, build up, encourage individuals through every testimonial pass to repent and accept the finished work of Christ and his redeeming blood. With that said, welcome to Crossroad Temple. Amen, amen. The number is 646-238-38. We're going to be talking about the Trayvon. Yeah, we're going to be talking about the Trayvon Martin case. I know a lot of you feeling a certain type of way. I know a lot of brothers and sisters in church, out of church, tabernacles, temples, you name it. People are feeling a certain type of way. Amen. But those who are led by the Spirit of God, we definitely know what time it is. But before we get to chopping it up, we're going to usher in the presence of God in this place. We're going to sanctify these lines already that are Trust and Believe Spiritual Sunday went on, so we know it's already popping in here. But just to cover ourselves accordingly, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, anoint this place, God. We ask that you anoint these lines, God. Anoint every caller, Lord God, at the sound of my voice, Lord God, via internet, telephone, cell phone, Lord God. We ask that your Holy Spirit be in the midst of us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let everybody be divinely appointed to be on this line, Lord God. We bind the hands of the enemy right now, Lord God. We come against the spirit of tradition, Lord God. We break down the walls of Jericho with the power of your word. You say your word has a hammer and a break into pieces, God. So we apply that right now, and we apply the blood of Jesus. We loose ministering angels all over via internet, Lord God, even the cell phones, Lord God, even those who are at laptops, Lord God, airports right now, Lord God, even on buses right now. Those at the sound of my voice, Lord God, let you be glorified and magnified, Lord God, and helping all of that getting get understanding. In Jesus' name, shalom. Amen, amen. Like I said, we're talking about the Trayvon Martin case here. It's Crossroad Temple, 646-200-3838. Like I was saying, usually I go into a text, and I think if I had to choose a text, it'd definitely be Matthew chapter 12, starting at verse 43. And it definitely reads, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, finding none. Then he said, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he find it empty, sweat, and garnish. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so it shall be unto this wicked generation. While he yet spake to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto them that told him, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother, in Jesus' name." And I think the jewel out of that, ladies and gentlemen, it is quite clear according to the Holy Scriptures. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I think we have to look at this Trayvon Martin case here and just really make sense of it. For those who are spiritual, apply it spiritual. And even those who are choose to remain natural about it in the situation, let's just use common sense. We know that there's a power, there's a force at work here that's seeking to destroy the human race. We know there's a force and a power at work that seeks to cause human beings to be at war with one another, whether it be color against color, religion against religion. I think it's at work to just totally annihilate the human race. And I think that's very key here. That is a spiritual enemy at work here, and that is the devil. See, he wants us to get so caught up in the color of the issue and not the spirit that's behind the issue. And I think when we allow ourselves to get caught up, oh man, Trayvon. Well, what about Ray Ray down the street? Huh? What about Raheem down the road? What about them boys that got killed last night, this morning? I think we need to really focus not only just Trayvon, because I can't sit here and say that God is in control and then turn around and say, well, that's what's wrong, what happened to Trayvon. Wait a minute. God is in control. You know, Trayvon had a spiritual life as well, too, young as he may have been. You know, God still holds him accountable, and he'll hold Zimmerman accountable. Don't be surprised, you know, if you see Zimmerman preaching somewhere or get saved or something like that. You know, some people like to say, well, he didn't show no remorse. Hey, you don't know what Zimmerman does when them cameras off. And I think, you know, anybody that know a word of prayer, you might need to pray for Zimmerman. Just put yourself in his shoes. He can't go nowhere. Everybody in the country knows Zimmerman. So don't be surprised if you see him out of the country. Don't be surprised if you see him out of the country. Or don't be surprised if you hear that he's going to, you know, he might end up getting a civil lawsuit and end up going to jail or something, but he'll never go to jail. But we already knew, those who have eyes to see, we already knew that he wasn't going to do a lick of time. And now you got this sister down in Florida who's a single mother, and she's facing 20 years. 20 years on a murder charge or a gun charge, and so I understand. And she's looking at 20 years, and Zimmerman got off with absolutely nothing. So give us a call here. We're here. We're talking about the Trayvon Martin case, 646-200-3838. Your opinions will definitely be respected. Amen. Your opinions will definitely be respected. You're welcome here on the temple to share your views and everything that's going on. But I think it's just very, really a tragedy that's really going on in this country. And I think from this perspective of the temple, this country, America, has turned their back on God a long time ago. And they just put the mask on and try to masquerade as if they were standing with God. And they just turned their heart so far from God. And it's just another manifestation of Babylon going on in this country. So I think we really need to just pay close attention And if you study the scriptures, you know he said that in the last days there will come mockers, there will come all sorts of people coming forth. And you have to recognize these things. And you got to recognize that there is a devil at work, and his aim is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's when it comes down. But I believe we got a caller. Caller, welcome to the temple. May I have your name, please?
This is T.
T, how you doing? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, wonderful.
Good. My point of view on this situation, yes, last night when the verdict came out, I got very upset. But I had to think, and I had to start praying about it, because the thing is, I wasn't there. So how can I say who's guilty of what?
Right.
It was an unfortunate situation that happened. You know, a mother and a father now don't have their kid. You know, and, you know, like we were speaking on the show, Spiritual Sunday just now, you know, this mother says she's going to church. And I also said, you know, if we as people start riots, wars, or whatever behind this, her family, their life could be in jeopardy. Because who's to say that someone won't go and get them, you know?
Right.
It could end up more killings, you know, senseless murders for nothing. It's not going to bring this kid back, so at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
it's uncalled for. He has
you
to
are
pay
absolutely
for whatever
right.
he's done. You know, all of that is in God's hands, and we as people, we can't do anything about it.
Yes. Well, I think it's naturally for black folks to feel a certain type of way. I mean, we have that gene in us that have been oppressed for so many years, coming from Africa, coming from over there, going through the Middle Passage, going through our own personal Red Sea experience, and then coming over and being distributed all throughout the South and Jamestown and Charleston, South Carolina, various parts of the country, and just being, you know, oppressed by slavery. So naturally, when an issue comes up with race, because this country was built on the back of black folks, so when an issue of race come up, now that gene in us, that thing from our forefathers that was passed down through that spiritual inheritance, that flares up. And now you got a war with that on the inside of you. No matter how spiritual you is or how carnal or natural you is, it's going to flare up. But it's up to us as an individual to begin to check ourselves, like, whoa. You know, because that can actually create you to be, you can become bitter over the situation. Because I even had to catch myself. You know, I said, wait a minute, you know, this we in the last days. This is definitely expected.
Yeah. But, you know, it's not only just blacks. You, a lot of,
Hold on to you. I think we got another caller coming in, calling on the Trayvon Martin case. Caller, you on Crossroad Temple. May I have your name, please?
Yes, this is Dave, Brother Walker. And
how you doing, Brother Dave?
Blessings, my brother. Basically, I mentioned earlier, and I'll just restate what I said earlier, is that there's a bigger picture that's going on here. And if you focus on the act and not the perpetrators of the act, we're going to lose sight of what is really going on. Because in order for people to get something done, they have to create a distraction, you know.
Mm.
And in doing so, it causes us to look away while something else is going on behind the scenes. And this is what's happening.
Wow.
This is what has been happening for a long time. It's like the early days of the propaganda, where leaflets were being dropped, so forth, and things of that nature, so that the people can look at their own government while the outside government is coming in and causing anarchy and causing conflict and creating problems in that country. So basically, this is just another distraction so that people can go into the dark room and do what they do best, because they are the keepers of this great seal, you know. And the only problem is that we, unfortunately, are always the distraction. You follow
yes.
what I'm saying?
Yes,
we
I
are
agree.
Unfortunately, we are always the distraction. And that's because we have so much to lose because we have already lost so much. You see.
So let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm done. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask you a question. How do you feel? What role do you feel the media played in all of this? Do you think the media has just been painting a certain picture to us as a people? And when I say a people, I'm talking, my Caucasian brothers and sisters included. You know, how do you think that the media has just been trying to paint us a picture, feed us some information to do like Dave said, just to take our mind and distract us from what's really going on and focus all our energy and time on this?
Well, as far as the media is controlled by the government. And there's nothing that they're going to publish that's not okay by the government. They have to have it. It's like going to your mom and say, Mom, is it okay for me to go outside? And your mom say, yeah, it's okay for you to go outside. They're not going to publish or say or do anything unless it's okay. The media actually told us ahead of time what was going to happen in the case. But some people weren't paying attention. What the media did was they showed all the other cases, the O.J. Simpson case, the Rodney King case. They showed all these cases, and every one of those cases, guess what? It came back not guilty. So they were giving you the info. They were giving you a heads up, but some people were just had their heads buried in the sand. But the media was definitely giving you a heads up of what to expect.
So what do you think is... what lies ahead for us moving forward? You know, it took place on February 26th, you know, of last year. What do you think that for us moving forward from this? How can we move forward? Do you think us as a people, do we, like, okay, we take it on the chin? It's like, okay, I know what to expect now. If I didn't know what to expect in America, I definitely know that there's something definitely going on now.
Unfortunately, Brother Walker, is that from the beginning of time, from generation to generation, there was always bloodshed. In order to accomplish anything, blood had to have been shed. And that's the unfortunate truth of why we even have what we have today. You know, in order for us to have the security and the freedoms that we have, blood had to have been shed. Okay? Even when Cain and Abel went to give their gift, you know, there was bloodshed. Even with Adam and Eve, there was bloodshed because they had to be covered. So from the beginning of time up to now, blood had to have been shed in order for us to have what we have. And that's not going to stop. It's going to continue because peace isn't going to come to this world until Jesus returns and he comes to the mountain. And we have that 1,000-year reign. But until then, there's no peace.
Exactly.
Okay. So what do you think about this whole stand your ground law? This whole stand your ground law. I mean, something has to be done with this moving forward, this stand your ground law. I think we got another caller. Caller,
hello?
You on Crossroad Temple. May I have your name, please?
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir, I can hear you. You're on Crossroad Temple. You're talking about the Trayvon Martin case.
I know what it is. I've been listening. You're talking to Wallace St. Clair. I've been on the air here once before. You have to keep me as a comic. But I'm not coming to tell something today. I want to share something with you about this whole thing. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. One, it's bigger than Zimmerman. It's bigger than Trayvon. And I hear a lot of people talking about, you don't get mad when Leroy killed Tyrone or black on black thing, as if it's got to make you feel guilty so you don't feel outraged about this. Like, my thing is, allow this to be the catalyst that it is to spring to action. You understand? Without going too much into depth, and I hope you grasp that. Also, what I'm saying is similar, although he's not, like, all the way Caucasian, his mindset is such that he's been trying to get into the white folks club the whole time of his life since he was born. His family treat him like a mutt, and he was trying to prove how white he was. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So what better way to prove his loyalty to the fighting system than to kill a black dude? You understand? Ain't no way for the opportunity of his whole life. I ain't finished. So what I'm telling you, when he, in his own household, they look at him like a mutt. he had to prove that his loyalty was to the white side as opposed to the Central American side. So as soon as he got the opportunity, it's like a haze thing he went through. A sort of haze thing. So now he got his membership. You understand? And the validation of
like
that,
initiation.
All the, yeah, and the validation
wow.
was all the support, all the agencies came behind and paid for his $1 billion defense.
Right, the
court could have paid for that. You understand? If you can't afford a lawyer, what would be appointed by the court? He didn't need that. Not only did he get the top of the line law defense, he also got a left edge. He could sit on relocate, and his value has increased tremendously. The country is split on this, and he's on a winning team. Back to my position about what actions we could take, I was down with the rally today on 2/5 of Harlem. By the state building on 7th Avenue. And the general consensus is begin to take financial action. Unite around like things that profit growth, like orange juice. Like don't buy no more Tropicana, Minute Maid, none of that shit to come out of Florida. Because it finances their government. You understand? Also, I got a position on Arizona and Skittles. Why stop buying that? Simply because they were there. You understand? Like, why did Sean Bell get killed? Why did Trayvon get killed? Why Diallo got violated? Why did Louima get violated to the third degree? Simply because he was there. And I say bankrupt, whatever company he gets bankrupt, simply because they in the hood. Don't run around with rocks and sticks and bottles and Molotov cocktails and pistols. No, but you're going to jail. They got the Patriot Act now that can hold you indefinitely. So they're waiting for us to pop. That's why they keep getting in the plane. Trying to fill up the jailhouse with us, that's crazy. Because all through Obama's a black man, he signed the papers and said they can hold you now. You got to see no judge as you declare the entity guilty. You declare the, you understand? And they can hold you as a terrorist. So all that riot from the 60s is played out. This guy is crazy. It'll be
so let me ask you something.
Yeah.
So let me ask you something. How do you think about how they're trying to paint the picture of Trayvon Martin? They're trying to paint the picture of Trayvon Martin that he was a troublemaker,
They're talking about him like he deserved to die. They tested his blood. They found some traces of weed in there. They tried to act like he was a raving lunatic. They ain't checked his cracker plastic. They ain't checked his blood. You know what I'm saying? And bottom line is, he could have been a weed head to the third degree. It don't matter. Kid was walking home out of his motherfucking business trying to catch the All-Star game. And now he's dead. They try to say that Silverman was right by his suspicions about the kid. That's how they proved it, but it's how weed in the system. Get the fuck out of here. Only the stupidest motherfucker to go for that.
Alright, man.
Only the stupidest motherfucker to go for that. Sorry for my life.
Mister.
Only the stupidest motherfucker to go for that.
Well, Brother Saint, we thank you for calling, man, on here on Crossroad Temple, man. And definitely, man, you're welcome to call back anytime, sir.
Yeah, I just had to get that off. And listen, before I go, remember, a lot of people don't call and try to talk so that you can see that they're smart. But you got to come up with plans of action. How are we going to get together? You know what I mean? This is not a check the post to see if we're alive, but what are we going to do with this motherfucking life? You understand? It's time to shit or get off the pot, man, because we all we got. And then he ain't going to be the last motherfucker to get shot if we don't make some changes real soon. All right?
All right, thank you for calling, Mr. Saint. 646-238-38. And remember, this is Crossroad Temple. We definitely got to be cordial on the temple, but everybody's responsible for their own actions, you know. But definitely, we got another caller in on the temple. Caller, you're here on the Crossroad Temple. May I take your name, please?
Hey, it's Lavina.
Hey,
how you
Lavina.
Doing, Sister Lavina?
Hello, how are you?
All right, I'm doing well. I don't know about everybody else. I'm doing good. Bless.
I'm doing good, too.
Well, I'm fantastic, Lavina. Now that I hear your voice, I'm doing fantastic. Go ahead.
I'm doing good, too. I mean,
yeah.
It's unfortunate. You know, we spoke briefly about the Trayvon Martin case on Spiritual Sunday, and I'm still going to stick, you know, with what I said, you know, earlier, which is to, you know, pray on it and take whatever negative energy, you know, that anyone has and make it positive.
Exactly.
You know, do positive things that can help, you know, the community, that can help your own community.
You know, it doesn't pay to get mad and to rally and, you know, well, rally, yes, but riot, no. You know, it doesn't make sense to riot because when you riot, what is that solving? You know, we overcome a lot, you know, in the world, you know, as just speaking as, you know, being African-American, you know, we've overcome a lot, you know, so to allow, you know, something, you know, like this, so tragic to actually cause a setback, you know, for us, you're going to see a lot of different things. The racial profiling is going to pick up. You know, you're going to see more of that. Just today alone, we've seen people getting pulled over, and we're looking like, all right, well, the cop's on, he's walking around, and you pulling people over while you're walking around. You know, so it's like you have to just make sure that you're alert and you're aware of your surroundings and what's going on, and just make sure that you, you know, take the negative, make it positive, and help our community, help our young adults, because those are the ones that are really confused right now, and they don't understand what happened, especially when society is like, all right, well, if you kill someone, then granted, you're going to go to jail. You know, I mean, I don't think anyone thought that the person that had the gun registered in her name was going to go to jail, but not the person that actually pulled the trigger. You know, so I think that we have to, you know, we have to be mindful, you know, to our surroundings and just be, you know,
absolutely right.
Leaders, you know, for our children.
I think you. I think you're absolutely right. You know, as far as, I mean, it's easy to, you know, to get real negative about the situation. I mean, but what is that going to do moving forward? What is that going to be moving forward? I can sit here and blow air all night about America, what's wrong, how I feel, but what is that going to change? You know, you want to change the world, you do it one act at a time. You do it one kind act at a time, you know, if you want to change the world, by every moment at a time. So I think we're just going to have to continue to govern ourselves accordingly in our ways and actions. 646-238-38, 646-238-38 is Crossroad Temple. Just press 1. I think we have another caller calling in. Caller, y'all here on the temple. Name, please.
Hey, what's going on, Faith? This is Rich Money.
Hey.
Rich
hey,
Money.
Rich.
How you doing, bro?
You know what? I'm real glad you picked this, you know, topic to discuss. You understand? And to me, a lot of people don't see it as a racist thing, but I want everybody to actually think about it in one way. You know, what if Trayvon was a white young man walking down the block with a hoodie on?
Oh, wow.
Was Zimmerman actually did what he did? Would he follow him? Whether he knew he lived in that area or not. You understand what I mean? So he's trying to use the fact of Trayvon didn't live in that area to use that as an excuse at what he done, like he protecting the community. You understand?
Yeah.
That's
and
the way
the police
I see it.
Told him to back up.
Exactly. Now, the police told you to back up. Now, you know,
right.
Just like I said, it was a white young man. The police, and he would have been doing that. If the police would have told him to back up, I believe he would have backed up.
He wouldn't have never went after him.
Yeah, he wouldn't have never.
I don't think he would have ever went after
him. I'm saying in general, just to give it a little E for effort, you understand, on that little part right there, you understand, if he would have seen it was a wife that didn't live in the neighborhood or whatever, and he was following him, and he was calling the cops, whatever the case is, and the cops told him then back up, he would have backed up. You understand what I mean? But to me, it was the fact of Trayvon's a young African-American. He's in the area that where his father lived at, and he walked into the store to get some candy and a soda, a juice or whatever. And this man decided to follow him. What reason you have to follow anybody? You understand? And then get out and approach them after the cops told you no. Leave it alone. We don't need you to do that.
But you know what, Rich Money? They said it was a 6-woman jury that accepted the self-defense as justification for the death of Trayvon.
But you know what? If a 6-woman jury, which I believe his father is a judge, that know
exactly.
What those 6 women need to think about is that young man's mother. Mm. What if that was your child? How would you feel in that situation?
You know,
understand?
What,
I think it got a lot
I
to do with money as well. Which I'm sorry
thing
to say.
I noticed, now, you know, and like I said, it's sad to, like, have it being racist, but if that would have been a black man, do you think that they would have been letting him walk in the courtroom
like he's an attorney or something, they would have been shackled up, handcuffed, everything.
Exactly. I definitely agree with you on that.
Not only that, you got to remember also the judge was a woman as well.
What happened?
The judge is also female as well.
Exactly. But
and,
normally, I thought it was a 12 panel. I thought it usually be 12 on the panel.
Judge by 12.
Right. It's supposed to be 12 of your peers. But you see, there's something in the number 7 when you start studying scriptures. There's something in the number 7, and that played a big part in this case as well. There's some things behind the scene that was going on that when you start that you'll see some things in this case alone that is going to send up some red flags as to what was going on with this whole case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of things going on behind the scene. You know, the thing is, we are like amoebas under a microscope because they study us day in and day out. They know if they do A, we're going to do B because they studied us for years, okay? They know that action is going to cause a reaction because they study us for years. They know if they put certain things on the shelves that we'll buy. They know if they don't put certain things on the shelves, what's going to happen. They know they eat a certain food, what's going to happen. You know why? Because a scientist years ago, he said it was easier 50 years ago to kill 1 million people by force. Now it's easier to kill 1 million people just by poop. You see what I'm saying? So they change with the time. And if we continue to maintain the same way, they're going to continue to be ahead of us. We need to, like Lavina was saying, we need to pay attention to our surroundings, not only our surroundings, but we need to pay attention to what's going on beyond where we are in our neighborhood. Because they know better than you what you're going to do if they do something, you know, action and reaction.
So let me put a question out there for everybody that's listening in. And this is Crossroad Temple, 646-238-38. We're talking about the Trayvon Martin case. But Obama came out and said something on the Zimmerman verdict. Obama said that the jury has spoken. And he also was calling for calm reflection. Our president was calling for calm reflection. How do y'all feel about that, what our president said?
The jury has spoken, but they didn't say whether they were misled. You see, the jury spoke according to what they were given. And if you are fed, if you're a baby and you're fed a certain food, that's how your body's gonna react to that food. But if you are given the right instruction,
Carter,
then you would make the right decision.
Mm-hmm. Well.
So what do y'all think about the?
I don't think Tavis.
Go ahead, Brother Rich.
I was gonna say I don't like the fact that the jury has spoken because it's more to this case. You understand?
Oh yeah.
And I think it's a lot more because for this man to do this and like T said, the 6 jury are all females. Come on. His father's
and
a big
he
judge.
And his gun back.
You understand?
I mean, you know, he got his gun back.
And he got his gun back.
Oh,
I didn't
wow.
even know that far.
I
think everybody has to also just realize that all during the week, I believe it was Dave, he was mentioning it also, they were prepping us for the verdict all during the week. So this way, when that time comes and that day came where everyone had to say, okay, well, this is the verdict, anybody that would have paid attention all during the week, you would have known what the verdict was. And with the president saying that, okay, well, you know, the jury has spoken to me. Okay, the jury has spoken, and I'm sure that they're going to appeal. And once they appeal, and I think that now it boils down to money. Who has enough money that's going to appeal it, that's going to get another attorney that's going to work with Trayvon Martin's family's attorney. We need another attorney that can actually step up and do a better job, and that the little leak holes, you know, the little holes that's right there, the leakage that they have, that
mm-hmm.
they were sharing it all week. They need someone else that's going to come in with a fresh set of eyes and that's going to really pick apart
everything that went wrong the whole entire week with the case. They need someone to pick that apart, because there's no way.
I agree.
There's no way that anybody could say, okay, it's all right for you to walk around carry a gun. You're told to not do anything and you do something. Then you say it's a physical altercation, but yet, where's the true 911 phone call? Where is that one?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, not the one that was altered because it took 45 days just for them to be arrested. So that meant that a lot of paperwork had to be damaged, a lot of paperwork was destroyed, and a lot of people didn't say a lot of things because they were too busy trying to cover their tracks. So they need someone that's actually going to step up and that's going to say, okay, I see that X, Y, and Z went wrong. So when we appeal it, I want X, Y, and Z addressed. Plain and simple.
Right.
I heard the other caller was explaining that they're going to stop, like, buying Skittles and Tropicana because it comes from Florida and stuff like that. Okay, at the end of the day, if you're going to stop buying it, then are you going to take that money that you would have usually bought it to, you would use that money, and you're going to send that money to the Trayvon Martin family so this way they can get a better attorney?
Exactly.
Because if you're just going to boycott it, what does that mean? At the end of the day, that means they're not going to go bankrupt because they're going to ship it to another state, they're going to ship it to another country, and they're still going to get their money anyway. So use that money that you were going to spend on that, take that money, send that money to them so they can get a better attorney, so they need someone that's going to pick apart everything that went wrong. And why is it that it took 45 days for this man to be arrested from the beginning?
Exactly. Exactly.
And to me,
well, I got
if we want to take the negative and bring it to the positive, let's take all the negative, all the negative of what went wrong, write everything down, get a group of people together that's going to brainstorm it, you brainstorm on it, and you come up with answers. What's the solution for it? Because now that all this went down, what's the solution?
That's where I'm at right now.
You know?
That's where I'm at right now, because I think this was strategically planned, because when the case was first came out last year, if the verdict had went down right offhand, this country would have been probably tore up by now if we got the same verdict. But they dragged this on because they wanted to release some pressure. They wanted to take a lot of that edge that was first on there about this case. They wanted to take that off. So, I mean, just like you were saying about the products and everything, what we do now, because, frankly, if you're on the corner smoking a weed, smoking a blunts, you're already buying into the system, whether you care to admit it or not. You know, whether you care to admit it, or if you're snorting coke, you're buying right into the system. If you're drinking, whatever is your vice, this country funds all of that. This country funds all of that. So I think moving forward, we just got to recognize, we got to take it back to the things that originally oppressed us, the things that originally oppressed us, and just said, okay, how are we going to come out of here with some understanding? And all I get is getting an understanding. But listen, we have like 7-8 minutes left on this program. I think I'll leave it on the note that Sister Lavina said, what do we do now moving forward? Closing statement.
You just got to keep praying. Like I said, it's not going to do any good for nobody to go out here and start killing each other, you know, or going to the white neighborhoods and doing this and doing that. It's not going to resolve anything.
Yeah, right. I mean, like, well, that's all you can do now, sit back and pray. Hopefully they get another judge, like Lavina said, and, you know, it'll work out for the best. But right now, it's like, people's going to go, they're going to be, it's going to get crazy after a while. That's what I believe.
It is.
And, you know, we actually had an event today, and that's the reason we didn't have the event, because of the Trayvon Martin. You know, you don't know how people is going to react, you understand? People will do stuff, and then you got some people that might try to do stuff and blame it on, all right, well, you know, y'all did get the Trayvon Martin, but meanwhile, that ain't really their point of view of it, you understand? So they want to use that as an excuse. You understand what I mean? Some people might try that, you understand? But
right.
that's just my theory. I'm talking about, you know, during a showcase or whatever we had going on today. That's why we ended. But everybody just have to pray, because this is something real serious.
Definitely.
If they get away
definitely.
With this, it's going to happen again. Gentlemen going to live with Trayvon. You know, we can't win for losing. I'm going to leave it just like that. We can't win for losing.
Perfect.
And I don't care what nobody say. We're going to always be slaves in their eyes. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that. That's a fact, because it's, you know, the proof is in the pudding. But listen, I would like to thank all your callers for calling in. Sister Lavina, Brother Rich, T, Brother Dave, everybody else in their respectable places, thank you for coming over to Crossroad Temple as we try to make some sense out of this Trayvon Martin situation, amen. But I think we all got to understand that when that verdict came out, you know, a lot of people may wrestle with it, but definitely we just got to pray on the situation, you know, and just allow the Lord to guide us accordingly. I'd like to thank everybody for listening to Crossroad Temple. You know, I'm trying to really suppress a lot of things about this case because, you know, your natural man war against it, you know, but at the end of the day, you just got to pray and you just got to trust and believe God, man. You just got to trust and believe God. I think if I had to end on a note, I think I end with a psalm, which would be Psalm 82, and that God stand in the congregation of the mighty. He judge among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly, except the person of the wicked, Salah? Defend the poor and the fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I think that's the point I'm trying to bring home here, that God is really trying to understand to us. The foundations of the earth, they all out of course. That's why the world getting more wickeder, because they need to get back to that foundation. I thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Crossroad Temple. I'm your host, Faith Walker. This has been another episode. Join us again next week, same time, 9 o'clock. And we thank you once again for joining Crossroad Temple. You have a nice night. Be blessed.
Now a moment of silence.
Burn if you
And now a moment of silence.